even Hitler didn't wake up going, let me do the most evil thing I can today. I think he woke up in the morning and using a twisted, backwards logic, he set out to do what he thought was good. Quote Will Smith.
That's why I like him.
Oh,
some real shit.
Yes,
some real shit. So just let that marinate for a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse. With me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papa.
What's happening? What's happening?
I'm black, he's Mexican, and now that we got that out of the way, welcome to our show. This is a podcast about nothing in particular. We got a lot of shit to talk, but before any and all that, if you want to call some articles, you want to hear our opinion on it, you disagree with something we said, email us, chime in at ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, and YouTube by searching I'm Black, He's Mexican. Like our Facebook fan page, tweet us, or at our Tumblr by simply adding IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. If niggas is too lazy for that, head over to our website at IBHMPodcast.com. You can follow our social media links there. Now, lastly, if you want to hit me up, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr. You can find me at thedifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. If you want to holler at my dude Soul Papa, his main source of social media fuckery is...
Is also that Tumblr, soulpapa.tumblr.com. soulpapa.tumblr.com. Fuck you.
Yes, sir. But we have a special motherfucking guest in the building, the big homie, Kamani, and his main source of social media fuckery is...
KamaniKM.com, and we have WorldSuperViolence.com. Yes, sir. .com. And you can get my Facebook from the .com. We just .com.
We .com
with this, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
I'm chilling. Y'all glad we can finally get you off.
Hey, I love what you're doing.
That's what's up.
I really appreciate
that. I like how you bring these topics together and bring them into a different genre than they don't normally talk about this stuff. Hopefully they'll get live.
Exactly. And that was a good portion of the idea of the show when we started branching out and doing this shit. It's like, these are conversations, unfortunately, a lot of minorities don't have. Like, this is some real shit that everybody need to wake up. You have people in the dominant majority that, you know, they talk about topics like these, but within the minorities, we don't really ever talk about this real shit, so...
And even they tread lightly, which, I mean, also kind of all the deeper, the thicker, the fizzlier fucking shit that you need.
Yes, sir. And we are brought to you today by Medical Marijuana and Uncle Rain. Shout out to you. Motherfucking, got the black tea on deck. Black tea and green leaves. We're coming soon.
And I'm back here.
Yes, sir. So, real quick to start the show off, I had a real interesting experience the other day. I went to the doctor. Like I said, I had recently switched jobs, so I had to switch insurance, and so I've got to find a new primary care position and all that. And like we're talking about, what's up?
I'm saying PCP. That's a little bit of medical. Just showing it up a little bit. That's the only thing I know.
PCP. Yes, sir. But so fucking, I had to, you know, get the new primary care and all that shit. And I just started smoking weed again about a week ago. Yo. I feel so fucking fantastic, man.
How you feel?
Yes, I'm loose, man. I'm just feeling good all up in the back. No,
cause that's these joints got my joints going.
You know, that's what I was talking about, man. Cause fucking, I was drinking a whole lot, man. Just getting drunk all the damn time. And doctor got me on Xanax and some crazy fucking pills. I'm a little off it. Yeah. So I was like, yo, I need to get off of all this bullshit and switch over to the natural or whatever. And so I got on a motherfucking medical marijuana tip, and niggas feeling good, ain't got no anxiety. I'm just living.
Woo, black hippie. Damn, you're Jamaican.
You got four jobs, man. But so, I went to the doctor, new doctor and all that. And so, you know, you got to fill out all the little shit to begin with. And it was asking on there if you do any recreational drugs. So I was like, I'm going to keep it 100. So I put marijuana once a day. Like, if I'm going to take on the doctor, I need him to be on the same, like, wavelength as me. You may not necessarily agree with it, but kind of just understand or whatever. So, no, so I'm sitting there, I'm in the little break room, and I get there like 40 minutes before it's my time to go back there. And so I'm just
a black man early? Goddamn, thumbs up.
Yo, I got there early as fuck. And so I'm sitting there, like 40 minutes past, and then finally they take me back to the back. They done brought in other people that came in after me. They done checked them in and all that. I'm just sitting there like, okay, I don't know what's going on. And so I get back to the back, and then they do the little wave thing and all that. And, oh, what you here for? And I'm like, oh, I'm looking for a new doctor and all that shit. And then so she leaves, and so I'm in a little office again for like another 20 minutes. I'm like, damn, I've been here for like 90 minutes. Like, what the fuck is going on? So then the doctor come in, and he's like, yo, he's like, I don't know if we'll be able to help you out today. He was like, if you need a refund, I can just take you back up to the front, and the ladies can, you know, refund you.
Okay.
And this was after.
This is after I filled out the paper. Well, I'm not even putting two and two together. So I'm like sitting there, I'm like, okay, like, I didn't get what he was, you know, saying. And he was like, well, he was like, you know, you're coming in trying to get some prescription pills, and we don't really know you and like that. And, you know, this marijuana thing on here, this just kind of complicates things. And I'm like, yo, like, okay, you give us that sheet because you want us to be real. Like, let me know your real medical history and what's going on and all that. And then so it just tripped me out. And so I'm talking to it or whatever. And I'm like, yo, you know, I started smoking marijuana, you know, about a week ago because I'm trying to get off the Xanax and all these other chemical bullshit. Exactly. I'm trying to get off that shit.
Look, excuse me, sir. My number one goal and achievement here is to make sure that I can get you on as many drugs as possible so that you will then in return
exactly.
pay for this fucking Pfizer.
Exactly. Fucking Big Pharma is the biggest fucking drug company out there. And so I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get off that shit. And so then he was just, we kind of got to talking, and he was asking other medical questions. I was like, I got sleep apnea and all these other things. And the dude actually started listening to me and actually having a conversation and all that. And I'm like, yo, this is my first time being back on marijuana that I got treated like a motherfucking, like, legal crackhead. The nigga thought I was just coming in there to get drugs. And he was talking about how, he was like, you know, marijuana is a real bad thing. You don't really want to get on that, because even if it's helping you with anxiety, he was like, once you get off the marijuana, it really messes with you. He was like, I've seen plenty of kids come in and you know, they have these effects. Well, yeah, you're talking about kids who are still growing up. You know, if you're introducing something that's not, yeah, exactly. I'm a motherfucking 30-year-old man. Like, my mind is formed and all. And just, it was just crazy. And then by the end of the conversation, he kind of admitted that he really didn't know too much about marijuana. And he was like, you know what? We can't help you and all that. But at the end of the day, fuck that dude. If you didn't even, like, dude didn't even talk to me. Like, it was just immediately like, okay, you can go ahead and leave.
Okay.
Oh, I'm good. So.
Yeah, but it was a good thing you did smoke that long ass weed, right?
Exactly. Yo, I would have been fucking flipping chairs around like, yo, what the fuck is going on?
But... was you stoned when you went to the motherfucker?
What's up? So, no, it was just fucking wild. Man. I thought that was crazy the first time I got through that. Yeah, but yeah, and that's the thing.
You're completely on the goddamn beat in the room. Ain't that a motherfucker? Was you high when you went in there?
No, I wasn't. Okay. I wasn't. I did. I smoked.
Okay. Were you fubu'd out? How about you do that? Honestly, yeah.
You know, I was keeping it hip hop, you know. So I know that didn't help either, but it was just fucking wild. I
one time you should have went proper. You know. I don't condone lying.
And especially since I'm out there in Gilbert, you know, they look at us a different way. So that was my first fuck up. It is.
You would have told me you're in a racial relationship, motherfucker would have kicked you right out.
So it was just fucking wild. And that brings up kind of the first couple of topics on here. I saw this article. I thought it was pretty funny. They were talking about legal weed doesn't increase adolescent use. It says one common refrain from those opposed to medical marijuana is that its legalization would increase use among adolescents. But a new study indicates that's just not true. According to the study from Rhode Island Hospital, which compared 20 years of data from states with and without medical marijuana laws, legalizing cannabis for medicinal use did not lead to any increased use among adolescents. And the study was published online and will be in some upcoming print issue. And that is one of those things that you get when you talk to, like, the fucking Republican kind of mindsets and conservative people and all that. It's like, oh, well, if you legalize marijuana, you know, kids will just be walking down the street wanting to smoke it. And it's like, you can fucking legalize crack tomorrow. I'm not going to start smoking that shit. Like, that's not...
But I would be curious, man.
I just think, like, at the end of the day, like, whatever you feel like doing, you gonna do it, whether the shit is legal or not. Like, if you want to do some shit, you gonna fucking do some shit. And I thought that was crazy. So
one thing I want to chime in on about that is that's a go-to they use.
Yeah.
Anything you throw that affects the kids or, you know, the family, you can tagline anything that's bad to that, you know?
Mm.
I mean, but that's a prime example of them trying to use that scare tactics.
Yeah.
Almost like the, was that 1924 movie where they had people high in the stereo and all that shit?
Oh, I can't think of it. Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness. But my boy Ugg, King Yon, lived in Germany for a while, and their legal drinking age is 8 years old. And you would think that they have a bunch of alcoholics, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's just like the opposite of that study says. It doesn't increase. If you have the options available for people and the proper education behind it, and you don't make it so taboo and stuff, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's why our Christians look at the way we treat sex and stuff too, man. We're so oppressed.
Yeah.
Well, give us restrictions. What we want to do, we want to fuck it.
Yeah.
You're in a relationship, or you can't fuck with anyone else.
You
can't
let people
in.
What's
that?
Oh, I can't hear you in your mic.
Okay. All right. You don't see this. I'm trying to tell you the eye contact thing and all that. No, but what I'm saying is anything you're saying, you're restricted, you don't want to do it.
You can't go to anybody already when you're 13 and all you can see you're 13. I want to see that right now.
You can't just be 21 people and get drunk at a high school party. You don't, that's my sight on about it. Ain't going to increase anything. It's just going to, you know, let people have the shits.
Yeah, like Bursch said, if you're going to do it or you're not.
Yeah.
You're going to abuse it or you're not, you know. But you put that information out there and keep people educated about it.
Yeah.
And then you don't make it such a stigma.
Yeah.
And a lot of things have changed, man.
And I think the main... Yeah, it is. It very so much is. And I think at the end of the day, what actually increases drug use within the adolescents, the youth or whatever, is when you make it taboo like that. Oh, you're telling me I can't do something? Oh, well, I'm going to go motherfucking do it then. Yeah, and so that's where the shit fucking comes from or whatever. When you try to suppress something or when you just try to stop people from being them and doing their thing or whatnot, you're giving them even more of a reason to fucking go out there and do that shit. So I just think it's fucking crazy. And then the other thing that this also brings up is
either
that...
Fucks with it or no. Oh, no, I was going to say, give a little sound clip for the vine. You going fucks with it or no?
Or not. Fuck it, this brought up the other article. Shouts out to Al Jazeera, who be holding it down in the news world. They put this article out. It says that the global drugs war was a $1 billion failure, which I've said that many of times, but they actually broke down and did the math on the shit. And it says that Nobel Prize winning economists support academic report, which says global drugs policies created $300 billion within the black market. The global war on drugs has been a catastrophic failure, and world leaders must rethink their approach. A group including 5 Nobel Prize winning economists had said the other day. And it just goes on to say that academic report published on Tuesday by the London School or whatever called Ending the Drug Wars pointed to violence in Afghanistan, Latin America, and other regions as evidence of the need for a new approach. And we kind of talked about that a while ago when Ice Magazine had this whole little report, and they were breaking down how since the war on drugs and since Ronald Reagan came in office and all that shit, moving drugs in the motherfucking hoods and all that, that's when the cartels started taking over in Mexico. Because even if you make the shit illegal, there's still a human need for it, if you will. And so they just put all these fucking cartels in business, and that's the reason why these mafia cartels out there are running Mexico. It's because of Ronald Reagan and the war on drugs. We just started a whole new market.
That analogy to a war, how do you expect, who's going to win? Who do you want to win? What outcome do you expect to gain once you win this war on drugs? I mean, we're fighting people who are already making their own free choice on what they want to do.
What was that, Papa?
Do we expect them to just roll over and take it? Like, if they're not going to fight for it, like, there's a lot of things that are being thrown, it's going to be a waste. I honestly feel that's one of the reasons why I think it costs so much. Because honestly, there's so much profit to come from it. There's definitely the losses in it don't fucking equate to what they're gaining from it. So it's kind of the pointless battle doing things like that.
I know it goes back to the war on terror right now. there's a war on terror, but the question is, like, how do you win that war? There's always going to be some form of terror out there, so the war is never ending. And it's the same thing with the war on drugs. What, you're going to eradicate all the drugs? Okay, are we going after Big Pharma too in this? Exactly.
It's a drug if it don't have FDA written all over it and they can't get it if it's a cut.
And that's exactly what it comes to.
That's the cartel right there.
And that's the reason why I think, especially like with the whole marijuana thing, the reason why they want to make this shit or make sure they keep the shit legal, oil illegal, because for one, you got private prisons who are making money off of the shit. I think like 25% of the people in jail is something marijuana related, if you will. And then the government also puts out the medical marijuana studies or whatever, and so they're making money off the studies and all that. And then you got Big Pharma who are making billions upon billions of dollars, and they don't want anyone cutting into those profits, because you have like marijuana, you could get a seed, you could plant the shit, you can grow it and all that. But fucking Xanax and Paxil, you can't cook that shit up in your house. So it's like, yeah, we'll make own deck. And that's the reason why that shit is legal, because you can't make that shit in your house and make a, you know, profit off. You have to go to them, as opposed to fucking marijuana. It's like, okay, we gotta regulate this shit, because even if we make it legal, you could not come to us because you're planting this shit in your backyard. So shit's a big racket in the day. So
I actually want to bring up some wax, if you don't mind. I actually put it in the show notes. Even a video game nerd that I am, I'm a Nintendo fan. And you know, with lack of a better word, but you know, fags be real sensitive. And Nintendo just released this game called Tomodachi Life. It's pretty much just like a Sims version of these little avatars that the Nintendo 3DS kind of has. Kind of, you know, these little avatars you have them on those systems, just your own little character in life. And these characters can get married and whatnot. And Nintendo had an issue, a motherfucking statement saying that they apologize for not allowing same-sex relationships to be handled in this game.
They had to apologize for that?
They made that biggest statement saying, we apologize for... So I guess they started making some kind of hashtag. It's called Me Equality. Remember when the equality shit people were talking about on Instagram and stuff with that equal sign or whatever? Like,
I was just about to say that.
The freaking gays, being that who they was, had an uproar because...
And I've said this, though, the one thing I do give to the LGBT community, and that's the reason why these motherfuckers are starting to run shit, they click up. They
go hard.
They do. They go hard in the motherfucking paint. And that's what the fuck they do. They click up, they put their money together and all that, and they're able to push their causes and all that. And I've said that, like, to people who have a problem, well, within the black community that have a problem with Obama. We ain't put no money in Obama's pockets. That's why he don't even fuck about the black community. He's not pushing too much shit trying to help blacks, if you will. Yeah. It's because we're not putting enough money in his pocket.
Black people got a gold bin inside because of the gang. Now I'm sorry, what was he going to say?
Okay, that too. Plus, there's not much that we can really do exactly for the black community. We got to help ourselves first, man.
And that is real talk.
For somebody to come to be like, yo, here. Take this little package, and then what we gonna do? Anytime you get some free shit, how much free shit do you have that you really care about?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and that's the reason.
It's all going to depend on how I feel about that.
Yeah.
And that that's all episode in itself. That's a series.
It's ongoing. Look at me.
And that's the thing. Yo, have you ever watched the documentaries, Hidden Colors?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
You know why I haven't?
What's up?
Because, I've always heard great reviews about it and whatnot. And,
what's that about?
I did see...
I'll tell you.
It's pretty much a movie about,
It's a documentary, basically, on... Yes, I'm trying to say it. It's basically a documentary, and it's called Hidden Colors, because it's basically talking about the history of the world and how everything basically started off black. All the... you got the Egyptians and you got the North Africans, you got everybody, you know, back in the day who were inventing mathematics and sciences and all that, like all of it were black people. And then when the Europeans took over, they kind of whitewashed history and they kind of started crediting everything towards that Europeans did it. It wasn't anyone before them, even though there's many studies that, you know, the Greeks and all that, they talked about how it was the Egyptians who were dark-skinned that taught them everything that they knew. Yes, Plato, and you have the Comedic schools and all that, and that's where they got all this information from. But then now that we're in more of a white supremacist world, if you will, history kind of stops with the Greeks and the Romans. And they don't talk about who taught them. It's just history stops right there. It was, oh, it starts with the Greeks and the Romans.
Mm-hmm. So my thought on movies though is pretty much I just feel he's compiling he's like almost like re-recycling information, and I don't like that because I know that he comes from a hip player background.
I see
him using it more as a hustle con than to really try to educate, because if you really want to do something and make an effect and a cost, like I saw this one hashtag, we don't need the Hidden Colors 3 or 4. Okay, we should have had some action after Hidden Colors 1. Okay, we got this information out here. Now, what are we going to do? That's all we ever want to do is rally, march, and gather information. And where's the action?
And get mad about stuff. Yeah, we keep wanting to get mad about things, but we don't want anything to action.
Wrong shit. Yo, the players should side note, these players should have fucking not played that game for the Clippers, man. Like, you were not playing. Is that what that is? Like, let's make an effect. Let's do some change in this shit.
And I do give you that because it goes back to my favorite fucking athlete of all time was Muhammad Ali. Because Muhammad Ali, like, they had I love that part on the motherfucking Ali movie when they, got mad at him because he wouldn't go to Vietnam. And he was like, they ain't did nothing to me. Yeah, they ain't never called me nigga. Y'all didn't call me nigga. Why am I going to help you go fight these motherfuckers or whatever?
And another thing, Ali, they all came together. Him, Bill Russell, Lee Al Center, they all made that stand. And they weren't even making nearly the amount of money that they were making now. So just imagine, it's not even that serious for them to take that pay cut. But we're, I know what kind of world we're living. I know where we're at. But like, we can't say we want something just to be saying it like, just rallying for Trayvon for 2 weeks. Like, what's up now? Like,
okay, what's the next thing to be mad about?
How I feel on that Hidden Colors. I think he's pivoting it to just get more let's just keep getting more information, but we're not going to do no action. But
yeah.
I like his, I watch his show. It's cool.
Yeah, he's good people.
As far as that part, I don't like that.
Okay. One of the lazy things about how we fight for stuff now, though, it's all on a hashtag. We'd be Twitter battling, so we'd be internet banging, and that was one of the things that kind of upset me. But the gay thing, because honestly, they don't need to be out in the streets picketing anymore, so they just do a couple of hashtags, and all of a sudden, we all sudden walk occupying Wall Street shit, because I happen to put something online. But really, what does that do besides kind of get our attention for a little bit? I think that's the winning word,
But on your Nintendo point, I think that that's ridiculous, that they even have to pre-apologize. That just shows you that there's more debate. It's not about equality, it's about superiority.
Yes.
You want to say, we don't even want to be gay and be equal. Like, we are gay, but we want to be better. Because if you want to be equal, okay, my bad, you didn't put it in gay, but is it worth an outcry to make that much of noise? Like, we understand and respect what you're going through. Mm-hmm. It's the lifestyle you live. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I have some relatives that are, that lifestyle. And I just feel that the way they try to portray their agenda and press it on people is fucked up.
Yeah,
of course, they give
it to you. That's almost like forcing
them to fail on me.
Yo, man, and this all goes into the feminization of man.
Mm-hmm. It was so funny.
Let's go!
Kind of like when feminists start burning their balls and the whole gay thing, we're here, we're queer, get used to it. Like, no, now it's a matter of, you said dominance, superiority. Like,
and I think the big issue, I think you hit it, the nail in the coffin, it's that it's never, we say it's about equality, but it's never about equality. It's about supremacy. And that's the same thing. I've kind of brought it up at times with feminism. That's the problems I have with feminism. Like, I believe that women should be treated equally. But a lot of feminism is more about men ain't shit and pushing it. And once again, this is every... We're superior to them. And that's my issue. And that's why we say that I'm a humanist. I'm not a fucking male feminist. I'm not a... I don't subscribe to anything except the fact that I'm a humanist. I would like to see everyone on an even playing field and everyone fucking treated equally. That's what I'm about. Us being equal. And that's, I'm a humanist, so.
Well, I will take Patrice's own meals. No, we are better than you women, so.
Yo, my favorite fucking joke is he was talking about why he doesn't litter. And he was like, I don't litter, not because I'm trying to save the world. He was like, my fear is that I can drink a fucking Pepsi and walk down the street. And he was like, and throw it in the fucking bush. And there's some damn white woman there that I didn't even know.
I don't think I got your evidence everywhere.
Explain. That's why I don't litter.
And that is real life shit, man.
It's real life shit.
I actually had the opportunity to see him before he passed. He came down here to stand up live like about a week before he passed away. He motherfucked with the truth, though.
Yeah, it was, man. He was real profound, man.
And I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't really get up on game on him until after he passed. I was late.
Same here, man.
Mad late.
I was up on him, heard about him. I saw the elephant in the room a while ago, but I didn't know he was on Opie and Anthony that much. And his own Cult of Black Phillip. You ever seen that?
I don't think I've seen it.
The Cult of Black Phillip. He had his own, his own podcast. It was a shit, dude. Hey, it's called the Cult of Black Phillip. I'll link it on
the
internet. I didn't get into that.
Let's get your mic up.
Excuse me. I didn't get into that until I heard about the guy who was buying this material and shit.
Yes.
Then I started digging a little deeper into that. But,
yeah. The YouTube dude, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. If you want to give credit to be different, but that message just got to be said, man.
Yeah.
YouTube, internet, what's happening in hip-hop nowadays?
And actually, yeah, as we go into hip-hop, first things first, let's truly, fully introduce motherfucking Kamani and everything you do and what you are about.
Did I hear him say, I am hip-hop? Is that what he said? Is that what he shouted? I am hip-hop?
Well, shit, man, I've been out here for about 15 years. Excuse me, but recently, I just started getting back into the art scene in like 2009, and it's going well. I'm doing my production still. I'm sorry I'm being so late, but I can keep going on and on. I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff, man. This iamkamanikemp.com and worldwidewildin.com. But a lot of things is working with artists out here. I do live shows, painting events. I'm always running my mouth on Facebook, getting faded, and talking some quite righteous stuff, but, you know, I got that equal balance, you know, so I just want to be too bad. And then, just doing the art, and it's going well. Just recently got these masked galleons.
Show off the hat, too.
The ice.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me, I don't. This is the heaviest of the crown. This is your boys right here.
Yes, sir.
So, I'm just keeping it thorough, man, staying active, and just enjoying life right now, man.
That's what's up. And that's the reason why we had to get you on here, man, because, of course, we Facebook friends, whatever. We had known each other for 13, 14, 15 years. It's been a long little minute. And it's just that. I love free thinkers. Like, everyone doesn't have to agree on everything. It's just a matter of being free thinking. Like, exactly.
And you never know what ideas will come up from that, but if you don't have that conversation, you're
always gonna be stuck. Yes. And that's the main reason why we definitely had to get you on here. And most def. And so I guess talking about hip hop, I thought this was interesting. Matt Daniels, who was a New York City resident who describes himself as a data scientist and digital analyst, has created a series of charts that examine the number of unique words used for various rappers. Daniels titled his project The Largest Vocabulary in Hip Hop and created his various charts using lyrics provided by the lyric-based website Rap Genius. Shouts out to them on that website. And it says that he found New York MC ASAP Rock to be the lyricist with the highest number of unique words within an artist's first 35,000 lyrics. ASAP was followed by GZA with 5,426 unique words used, and Kool Keith with 6,200 unique words. And basically, they were kind of just breaking it down.
Unique, like E40. I'm just saying some shit on my ass. Unique, or like
unique
all the words you don't hear too often.
And
yeah, I was trying to figure that description out.
I think it's more unique in the amount of different words that you use. So, like you said, within the 35,000 words, like how many of those words didn't copy each other or multiply or whatever? So every time you use a new word, that shows how big the fucking vocabulary is. And they were talking about that among the other artists featured. Which was inspired by the highly celebrated vocabulary of William Shakespeare, or Eminem, Tupac Shakur, Drake, and various members of the Wu-Tang Clan. And,
I knew they had to do it.
Oh, you?
Them niggas.
I wanted to see Pun on that dance, but then again, he only had two records, so I mean, you can only have so many words on two records.
Yeah, because they don't have enough lyrics out for them to have out to be able to hit that. So yeah, and that's a motherfucking feat right there. 35,000 lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
That's a feat. Yeah, so I think that's ill, and actually, I'm trying to bring up, see if I can open the image in a new link so I can zoom in on this shit. Cause I'm trying to see how people are ranked. Oh, okay, yeah. So they got the people up at the top, and fucking Eminem is up here with Moby Dick with over close to 6,000 words. It shows that Shakespeare is around in the 5,000 range, which would also actually, there's E-40 and Redman, looks like Andre 3000. And then once you get down here towards the bottom, I find this hilarious that at the last two artists are fucking DMX and Too Short, who both come out around 3,000 lyrics each. Yeah, because X don't say too much of anything. I love his fucking music. I love his energy, but X don't be saying a motherfucking thing.
Yeah.
So,
but maybe they count each of the barks, because they do vary in range and velocities. They probably count
them. You didn't quite make it.
Like, he's saying a lot more. It's cold, though. What's new in the world of hip hop? I mean, shit, we so stuck looking back, making charts and statistics. I mean, I don't even know where to go with it. Who controls these sort of things? Where does the music come from? The radio?
And the winners, or I guess, yeah, the supreme rulers within the hip hop radio world is Hot 97. And shouts out to Carly Hustle, who was one of our previous dedications. I think that was episode 8 when we did the dedication tour. She answered some critics about people saying it was quiet in New York. Carly Hustle, who is the smart and sassy music director at Hot 97, takes the position very seriously. It says, with Hot 97 recognized throughout the world as the most visible bastion of hip-hop radio, Hustle makes sure she does everything in her power to retain the brand's integrity. But many New York hip-hop fans and artists complain that Hot 97 doesn't show enough love to the Big Apple. But here we go. Oh, no, you good. With Southern and West Coast rap acts dominating the rotation, but Hustle doesn't believe the hype. She says, as somebody who's on the front line consistently fighting for that, I say that's BS. I champion myself along with morning personality Rosenberg and programming director Ebro, getting a lot of local cats fun even in the last calendar year. If you look at Action Bronson spins, if you look at Troy Ave, he's getting 50-60 spins on his record this week. Bodega Bams is another artist that we're able to break to. I think I've heard that name, but yeah.
It sounds East Coast. I mean, I know what a bodega is.
Yeah.
He got one joint that he performed with DJ Enough in his morning show.
Okay.
He got a little stuff. He ain't too bar heavy, though.
Okay.
He's real more kind of like bounce, almost like a French with more bars.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, it would make sense if he's in the cream of the crop, because I mean, yeah. Troy, you know, Troy Abbey.
Troy Abbey got, is he cool? He hit that coke talk a little too much, but
yeah.
He cool though.
I noticed he had kind of a, I don't want to say 50 Cent push, but I noticed a lot of time with him with Ye. I'm like, who the fuck are we messing with Ye? Honestly, but I guess they didn't badly.
And I thought, I do give it to Carly Hustle. I appreciate her standing up, because even I give that to her when she lived down here in Arizona. She stood up for Arizona hip hop. Like, she's always been about that local scene, if you will. And I think a lot of it comes down to what a lot of, because New York is the mecca of hip hop. But the one thing New York artists don't want to admit is that they dropped the motherfucking ball a long time ago. Like, New York hip hop has been too focused on kind of doing the same thing that they've been doing. They haven't branched out. I'm not saying to sell out and do what everybody else is doing, or popular, but kind of.
You gotta evolve with that.
Push it forward. Yeah, you have to evolve. And that goes back to what we're talking about, 50 Cent coming back. 50 came out, it was just so hard when he came out because it was different than what everybody else was doing technically at the time, and production was solid and all that. But 50 never evolved as an artist. Like, you half a billionaire, nigga, you ain't selling no fucking bricks anymore. Like, your music kind of has to evolve. And that's the one thing I do give to Jay. Popo's on me because I'm a Jay stan. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, and the one thing I really appreciate about Jay that a lot of people don't like about him is that he's talking that billionaire shit. He's talking about his life. Like, when him and Drake got into that little shit, because Drizzy was like, oh, Jay talked about art too much or whatever. And Jay was like, I'm talking about shit that I really saw while rappers talk about shit that they never really bought. Like, nigga, this is my life. I'm also building that shit, so I should be talking about that.
Oh.
Oh.
And who was I talking to the Classic the other day? He was saying, yo, Jay's in the business of making music, man. And he's good at making music for the music business.
Yes.
And if you want to keep making records or whatever just to hear in your car, then you do that. But there's certain things that you gotta do.
Yeah.
Still do that. It's not easy to write those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I give that too, because go ahead, Papa.
Oh, no. I respect, like I said, there's one track, and I don't know if it was Venus versus Mars on Carter 3. I always revert back to that track because it was one of the most product placement shit there was, because he's talking about these tablets, these computers, these phones. It was also catchy because I don't know if he had E on it or not, her saying, so kind of something sexy, so kind of gets into the ladies to be able to chant to while they do bumping it. And then he actually had really good wordplay about Bonnie and Clyde's and Cross and Biggie's and comparisons and contractions and whatnot. So he knows where to put it in that, and obviously he knows where to put his money at, Rihanna.
So you were on the New York, not playing New York hip hop, right?
Yeah.
Carly and agree with that.
Thank you, brings back.
And I agree with Carly because Carly was taking lead from what Ebro said. I used to watch those interviews a lot.
Yeah.
And Ebro was like, he's all, y'all niggas need to stop smoking weed in the apartment and start fucking some bitches. Y'all niggas just bring all these dusty records from the set.
Exactly.
Go out there and party with some girls and have some fun.
Exactly.
You know, you just gotta make good music, man. And you said it's a variation of the styles that they gotta come with, but I don't know, man. It's just, it goes in times.
It goes in cycles.
And it's not even, and now we're in a state of when everybody wants New York to be back to run shit, but that was back when it was able from the West Coast to run shit, and they had it.
Yes.
Even the South had that. Now we're in past 2010, I know we're in 14 for it. Now we're in a whole new one.
Yeah.
New millennium. That'd be right.
Say that again?
No, ten. No, that's a thousand. New decade. There's another word for it, but we're in a new decade.
And so it's not even about regions anymore. It's just about good music.
Yeah. And I will say, because we're in a new golden age of hip hop, I think the youngsters that are coming up, they have something to say. I think that we went through that patch through the 2000s where a lot of artists, and shouts out to Lil Jon, I love his energy and all that, but you had a good portion of artists that was just kind of copycats. They really didn't have that to talk about. Yo, I think it's getting better. I won't say that it's, because like we were having that conversation about cats kind of imitating one another's flows. But I will say, I do like what Kendrick is doing, fucking Cudi, I'm a big fan.
That's creating its own little sense of copycatism too. I mean, it's all a thing of, even some of the great ones, they cause a little trends that people kind of jump on board and do whatnot.
But I think hip hop does go in cycles, like y'all were saying, because the whole thing, I think what we're seeing right now with Drake being the head of hip hop is a cycle of, you had 50 Cent.
You know where it's at.
Who, in one sense, 50 Cent was like the realest fucking gangster rapper ever. Like, he lived that shit, he'd been shot 9 times, he'd been stabbed, like, it couldn't get more gangster than 50.
And then he still had those little melodies on top of it.
Is that what you gonna say? You had to go to that extreme from the soup, like something had to, you can't go no higher than 50 Cent.
Yeah, and then so you have to drop off from there.
And go to the super.
And now I think that's the reason. And that's the Frank reason why, after Drake retires, hip hop is going to get a little harder. Because no offense to Drake, I don't think it gets softer than that. I can't see a rapper softer than what Drake represents.
Yeah, I said, I'm scared of Parliament. I don't know if I should call you. So
you
to that age, it was
freaking
out.
Yeah, it was about some kind of letter one too. It was off the last joint, the something to remember. Yeah.
But when he gets on his bar game, be cold. I just can't sit in a car with another grown man.
He was going through some things. He was feeling that shit.
You can't sit in a car with another dude listening to Drake. That's too much like a date. Like, you can't do that. Like, we play a couple of these records.
No, you put a click on when the bitch comes in the car. Like, hey, you know, I'm real sensitive. I write poetry and everything.
But no, I do think we're going through a phase and a cycle, and I think that it can't get no softer than Drake, and I think it's going to get a little harder. And just like you said, it goes in cycles. And eventually, it's going to go back to New York.
As far as the Main Street stuff goes, I think everything has its demographic. Yeah. Everything has its channel. Just how when you got XM radio, they all have their channels. You want your country, you get your country. I think we just need more platforms for hip hop so we can express it all. Because we look at one in majority, and we think that's all there is. And I know one of the things that will kind of bring us into our next topic, but one of the new billionaire, he actually has his own stream of his own, whatchamacallit, like his own looks like Pandora, Spotify,
yes.
Apple guys at Apple iTunes Radio, like they're all trying to come in to give. You need your platform. Give me channels. Like, if I give you channels, like I can get to a person who likes that channel and when filling up demographics, hitting up all your things, and it's all about making those moves. And I don't know how big of a move you can make. What's our next story? How big of a move can you make, and what you invest and what you can get out of it? And I think this is probably one of the biggest things that anyone's done that's going beyond music.
It's like
it's channels.
And I don't think it gets bigger than this, because I think the biggest deal to date with hip hop was the whole 50 Cent with the vitamin water.
That was
he made $100 million off of that. Was it?
But he got 50 out of it, didn't he?
Something like that.
Are we saying I get money? I drink quarter water soda that costs for $2, Coca-Cola and cake water for business.
What the fuck? That shit was ill, but I guess now we have somebody who has surpassed that as Apple reportedly is purchasing Dre's Beats Electronics for $3.2 billion. Not million, $3.2 billion.
As in bitches. That's a whole lot.
It says that the site says that the sale of the company owned by Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine would make Dre approximately $1 billion. And I just heard earlier today, shout out to the missus, she did some more research on it, and I guess Dre is set to make like $800 million, which still puts him at the point to be the first hip-hop billionaire, because I think he's worth like $500 million or something right there. So this is going to put him at like $1.2 billion. So hip-hop is finally eclipsed, and we got a fucking billionaire. I'm excited. I think that's dope to see a hip-hop person become a billionaire. I think that's dope.
I think it's dope. I'm kind of torn.
Yeah.
I feel excited about it, but I don't want to crazy too much because I get mad that there's only one. And I get mad that there's 1,500 plus billionaires in the world, and there's only 4 black.
Yes.
You know, I get mad about that. Minority, period.
Yeah.
So, that type of stuff, I would like to celebrate Dre for doing that. You see some people online who went instantly hating on.
Of course.
This is just some bullshit. You ain't really a billionaire. You believe that and got a bridge to say type shit. I'm like, let's enjoy the moment. Let's come together and make something happen. But I just like to see that more. I like to see that a lot more.
I thought Monster owned Beats, though, so I'm wondering, like, how big of a portion? Like, is he if this reports are correct?
50% from what I heard.
Okay.
Yeah, so him and Jimmy had it.
He had a good deal out of it.
Didn't they get out of Monster? Because they switched it. Because Monster's going to Swiss now.
Yeah.
Oh. Swiss. Because they're Beats by Dre, but they're not by Monster no more. So they're just Beats by Dre.
Yeah.
And they go back to Apple. So Monster will be with Custom.
And that's...
So Monster's doing shit with Swiss. They're like...
Okay.
But it's something that
makes it. And that's interesting, because I didn't even peep that, because, it used to always be Beats by Dre Monster, but now it's just Beats by Dre. I didn't even pick that up.
Let's see, they bought it, then it's kind of like getting a new distributor, so to speak.
Bought their contract. I said, yo, thank you for the chicken.
That shit is crazy, but I know I'm the same way, too. Like, it's dope that we finally got a hip-hop billionaire, which on the backside of it is kind of fucked up, because we know there's motherfuckers who have made billions of dollars off of urban music, but finally we have an actual artist within it who has made $1 billion. And so I'm excited for Dre.
What the fuck is this detox though?
Yo, if this without, I think this without a shadow of a doubt now shows that detox is never coming out.
Yeah, you know, I think it may be the opposite. I think it may be like, well, fuck it. Even if it's whack, I'm a billionaire, bitch.
He's actually got a point.
Because that was the most thing. He's trying to be better than his own legacy. That's hard, bro.
Yes.
He's trying to get some stuff. That's hard.
Yeah, and I always thought the detox stories was always, like, super interesting to me, because, like, the story is the first – set of Detox beats became what was Get Rich or Die Trying. Ooh. And then the next batch of Detox beats became Obi Trice's, what was the first one, Cheers?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was hard.
Man. Yes, exactly. So that was the shit that was supposed to be on Dre's album, the Detox. And then he kind of fell out with a lot of the producers that he was working with and all that. And then he finally had that resurgence when he had the Kush record, which I thought was fucking dope. I thought that was ill.
You remember they were leaking out a lot of stuff? They were leaking out the versions of people rapping about Dre, like they were
yes.
the T.I. version.
Yes, all the reference tracks. Yes.
Yeah.
And it shouts out to DJ Quick, because I remember DJ Quick did an interview and was like, he was like, I have heard over 400 songs that Dre have recorded for the Detox. And he was like, all of them are phenomenal. And he was like, I don't know why Dre's not putting anything out. But like you said, it's because Dre isn't in competition with anyone else. He's in competition with his own legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know how you would say perfection, but kind of, there's this one line that Master P said that cracked me up back when there's a little bit of beef between Dre and Snoop. It was when he did the Last Meal album, and Master P was all, he's like, Dr. Dre, this shit ain't nothing but loops. Which some would argue is that kind of how his music sounded before. You know, it was just perfect samples, just cut right where the fuck it was cut at and made. I rechecked back, so I remember I actually bought the Chronic 2001 instrumental album, and it's flawless. You know what I'm saying? Like, people have, you know, I remember, I think the last person I saw him do was Young Buck, but he rapped over the whole damn thing. I don't know.
Shout out to Scott Storch for doing that.
Yo,
yeah.
Yes.
Scott Storch played everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, like, I'm going to say this real quick. He's a producer in the truest sense of a producer.
Yeah.
Quincy Jones, Barry Gordy, yes.
Remember, he fought with the Roots, right? That's where he started with the Roots. Like, he was a keyboardist, right?
So sick.
So,
yeah. He made all that shit after that, and then, you know, he got these problems, but he's cool, man. But Dre is that producer.
Shouts out to Cocaine.
In the hip hop culture, we get it confused. And
yes.
Like, yeah, I make beats. I'm a producer. Like, nah, brother.
You're a beat maker.
You're a good instrumentalist. No, I'm not Fruity Loops. That's for shit, bro.
Hey, no.
Fruity Loops. That has some dope lead drum. I can't even have a soul boy for fucking that up.
Yeah.
That's what that should happen. But yeah, man. If you don't make beats, I mean, you're not the same as a producer.
Yeah.
Every other genre of music, rock groups have a producer come in and say, play that, do that. That's
do this like that. Yes.
Dre does that. That's what I'm saying. Scott Storch plays those PT games. Dre's the man.
Yeah.
And he's a hell of a good shooter for his age.
Fucking man.
Yeah, shouts out to that,
too. Oh, plus, and he's just, he's a beast.
Real quick, though. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say.
So go ahead.
I would also show love back to Fruity Loops, because I was going to say, like, you know what? You're going to laugh, man. This is the funniest fucking story ever. Download that shit. It's the most illegally pirated shit. And guess out of all the fucking things that I've ever purchased, I actually paid for it. And you know what the fucking part is? I can't use it. So I'm hating from a point of view to it. I just can't use it. And yet the ignorant motherfucker can go.
I know, the irony in it. It don't work on Mac, right?
No, they have
they have a demo.
Buddy. I didn't know that.
They sure do. And you know what? That I bought one for the car center too. Like,
yeah.
Before they changed it to FL.
FL, yeah.
Okay. I actually purchased it.
That's what Mike Wonder uses. Lex Luger uses that.
Oh, Lex Luger. I didn't know he used that too.
And a lot of it comes down to...
What's the name? Cardiac.
Oh, Cardiac?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was going to say, a lot of it comes down to stuff, yeah, you can create and craft, and I can't even begin to bother with the filters and EQs and that motherfucker, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I can't even fuck with it.
It's not what you use, though. It's whatever you
use.
Yeah. Man,
not the machine. Whatever you do. Or just the proper thing. That's why I always thought that I was always impressed with people's choice of drop programs. Like, man, yeah, you fuck with Cool Edit.
Yeah, Cool Edit. One of the oldest, greatest things.
Just something to paint on. It gives the fucking
a canvas. Yeah, that shit is ill. And speaking of real talk, fucking
the realist.
But yeah, one of the realest artists, I would say, in hip hop, is finally getting a biopic, and shouts out to the producer, LT Hutton, will be. Shouts out to LT Hutton, which actually we kind of talked about this before we went on air. When I graduated from the conservatory, moved out to Hollywood, California, I was interning at the Program Productions Record Studio.
First love name dropping. I'm fucking.
Oh, I got a name drop. This is my one name I can fucking drop. But I worked with LT Hutton for about a month, and learned a lot from Dude was on it, and I had worked with him at the time when he was working on Ashanti's record when Ashanti was coming back, and she had the single "The Way I Love You," "The Way I Love You."
That's what I love Sintra.
What's up?
I'm like, that's what I love Sintra. No, Ashanti was bad though.
But he did that beat for it. He worked with her, and he did a bunch of records on Fox Life, and even this is just the later part of his career, because he started off, he was an engineer on Death Row. He did the gang of shit with the East Side of Snoop, Omarion and Bow Wow, just like he's all over the motherfucking place. But
he was only proud to say I worked on Face Off. Oh yeah.
So he been deep in the game, but finally he quite possibly become a household name with this, because he's the producer of Tupac's biopic, and he did a little interview with All Hip Hop, and just to read a little bit of it, it says the world has been waiting to see hip hop icon Tupac Shakur's story on the big screen for years, and a film about the charismatic performer is now officially in the works. The Tupac biopic will be directed by accomplished filmmaker John Singleton, which I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Singleton also penned the script along with two other dudes. I don't know these
Bad
names.
Boys. Oh, you're talking about that, right?
Jeremy Haft and Ed Gonzalez, whoever it is, but it says the movie is being produced.
I was the biggest producers. I think that was producers.
But it says the movie is being produced by Morgan Creek Productions and some other places with association with Open Road Films and the Program Pictures. The Program Pictures CEO LT Hutton is responsible for taking the film to Morgan Creek after attaining a first look deal with the company. Hutton, who spent time working at Death Row Record Quick Pot, placed the project as his number one priority. 2 years later, the film is in pre-production and expected release date of 2015. Now, I'm actually excited.
Open Road Films is actually one of the film production teams on here, and they actually make really dope, like, expensive-looking movies. So I think they're going to make some pretty epic. So. Kind of like, I won't compare it to anything. They make some deep ass shit, so I think this is fitting. Good luck.
Yeah, and so they did a whole little interview on allhiphop.com. We won't read the whole thing, but we'll put the link up on the IBHM podcast and go ahead and read it. And he just went into detail about how much time he spent with Pac before he died, and some production process about the film and casting, and just a whole bunch of different things. And so
I think anytime you bring up Tupac, then you bring motherfuckers out the woodworks who want to say, "Well, I fuck with Tupac." You know, obviously he was a multifaceted dude, so there's a lot of stories inside to him. But it's one thing, you know, if you got something to say, then you won't speak about it. I think one of the loudest motherfuckers, even though he keeps to himself, is Suge Knight.
That's a real good segue, because Suge Knight recently got stopped by TMZ, and Suge Knight basically said in an interview that Tupac is alive. Former Death Row Records CEO Suge Knight has again shared his
trolling.
Gotta get back in that limelight. He says he shared his belief that the late Tupac Shakur is not dead. TMZ caught up with Knight earlier this week outside of 10 or 1 Oak as he proceeded to take part in a rant that touched on Tupac, Puff Daddy, and why he
actually saw that shit on TMZ.
I know, I watch the shit too. And it says, according to Knight, part of the reason why he believes Tupac is alive is because someone came forward to confess to shooting the rapper but was never arrested. He also went on to call Puff Daddy a bitch ass and questioned why people would question his involvement in Tupac's death when every rat says it was Puff who had the late rapper killed. He says, one thing people gotta realize is motherfuckers born and raised out here. You're supposed to respect the motherfuckers that live out here, because right now we got a lot of out-of-towners living out here and they ain't said nothing about it. You'll have a motherfucker walk down the street and say Suge Knight killed Tupac, but everybody know off the top I ain't the nigga that killed Tupac. I'm the nigga that protected Tupac. And then he just goes on to say,
pimp.
Yeah,
to be honest, that was Tupac's exactly. pimp. That was his fucking his. How they give? I think it was one of the early stages when I think we were finally starting to realize how big of an influence stars had, from Elvis to fucking the Beatles and how crazy bitches would go. Honestly, I thought it was gonna be like. Who are these niggas? Oh, this hip hop here. These are the rolling in the future. So I mean, and that's why people are arguing and saying that the hip hop police or what have you, the jazz, the little Illuminati connection, whatever. They're gonna make it's done how it should be done. And I think Suge Knight was just their fucking puppet to get him here.
He's a puppet.
Yeah, get him here.
Yeah, he was a puppet at the end of the day, and that was the whole thing, the whole story about when Pac was in jail, and Suge was on bail him out, and Suge had him sign those contracts before he got out of jail. Like, he had Pac sell his soul to the devil, if you will. And
like, brother, I'm going to do this for you. You want to do something for me real fast. Do something for Lucy.
Yeah, see, I think everybody took a lot of stuff from Pac. They took everything from Pac, but his work ethic.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Nobody works like that, man. You did by his lyrics, his style, everything, but where do the records at, man?
Exactly.
You know, I'm just thinking about all the people who, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do what I do and chill at the house and just do that stuff, and I make music all day. Well, what are these guys doing when they're in the big limelight? Are they just partying, just enjoying the scene?
Yes.
Yeah, yo, Pac was working, man.
Yeah.
I hope this pic really shows, you know, how much he
was into
his craft.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
The article on the Tupac says it's going to be more believable, or it's going to be more real, because the Biggie movie, if you remember, it was so staged. It made it look like a fluff piece on the news article.
It was like, and now this happened. And then he went, it didn't flow too much.
Yeah.
So I hope this is fluent. I hope this describes it. Yeah. Actually, that's what I wanted to say something.
That was almost talking so hard I had to interrupt you for a
while. But no, I do think that shit is wild. And yeah, the whole Tupac is not dead thing, I think it's run its course. I think without a shadow of a doubt, I think Pac is still alive. It's been, what, 20, damn near 20 years? I think
how
the
much
nigga would have showed up by now.
How much would it cost you, though? I mean, because one of the rumors was that they shipped him off to Cuba, which you figure, what American can actually go there legally? Like, you ain't going to be seen. And, I mean, they have my brothers that look like brothers out there, so you really wouldn't know if someone wasn't Cuban or, you know, wasn't, you know.
And actually, shouts out to Sada Shakur, who's out there in Cuba, because she had the whole situation where they arrested her when it was proof that the cops had shot the guys because they had their hands up and hit them in the underarms or something like that. And they claimed that Asada had killed these cops. It was this whole big thing. And I think she got broken out of jail or some shit. And then they fled her out to Cuba. And so she's been getting protected out in Cuba. And that was the whole thing why Common got into trouble when he a few years ago when he was going to be the poet for Obama. And that was what the Republicans and Fox News was like, oh, well, he supports this terrorist over here. We can't have him in the White House. And it was because of Sada Shakur. She's out in Cuba. And so
actually,
might be something to that. Might be chilling with his auntie. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly.
That, you know, that people took him out for a cause, you know what I'm saying? And it was more than just some, okay, there's enough. He either got taken out some street beef.
Yeah.
He could either got took out by the government type of shit. Right?
COINTEL.
Yeah.
COINTEL.
But that would be all cheaper and more effective to just kill. I don't even say
that's
like
true. That's true, though.
Just kill him and ship him off.
Exactly.
Why do we got to risk something if we can just take him?
He's the biggest rapper in the world. How are you going to hide that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice... it just shows how much impact he can have. Fucking safety.
Yeah, it goes to Elvis too, because that was the same thing with the people who believe they never believed that Elvis died because he made such an impact. No, he can't be gone.
So, do you think we're going
to
have
Tupac
out the next 10 years of Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
How dope would that be?
Yo.
A bunch of bald headed Tupac
dead. Please. America, please.
He used to be a crack. That would be so motherfucking ill. I would love that. You know, it's coming around the corner.
Yo.
Put it in the way. There you go.
I've seen a few. I mean, there's doppelgangers everywhere for every single celebrity. Even us ourselves, I've seen a few different versions. Like, but I definitely see that being for fucking for Pac. I was actually going to say, I lost my goddamn train of thought again. Ain't that a motherfucker?
It might be the medical marijuana.
It might be this marijuana, y'all. That's why you got me cooped up.
That's why you have to pop this Alpha Brain. It gives you mental clarity. And that's an unofficial sponsor right there. Shouts out to
them. Give us money.
But speaking of Alpha Brain and conspiracies and all kinds of alternate ways of thinking, I came across this article. Shouts out to Trav Lord, the big homie's been on here. He's actually our only repeat guest we've had so far.
Yeah, I guess.
He shared this on Facebook, and I had read the article. I was like, we have to bring it up. We talked a lot about alternative medicines, and we talk about a lot of different things like this. We talked about ayahuasca several times on the show. And actually, before we read the article, I was going to ask Kamani, have you ever heard of ayahuasca?
I've heard it, but I don't know nothing about it.
So to break it down, I know our podcast
listener.
What's up?
I've heard in the background somewhere. Someone shouted that shit out. They went, Ike.
I don't know.
Long story short, ayahuasca is a plant that grows in South America. And basically, people go down. It's legal out there in Brazil and in that area. It's not legal up here. And people go down and they take these ayahuasca trips where they meet up with shamans and they're in this jungle. Yes. And they take it and they hallucinate. And everyone who hallucinates sees similar shit. So people, like the people who are into psychedelics and all that, they're wondering if ayahuasca is kind of tapping them into some other new dimension or something, because a lot of people keep running into the, like, this motherly figure who's taking care of them. They see jaguars. They see, like, everyone's seeing similar
shit. Pretty much you trip out, you fucking find God, and you have clarity. And by the way, for the people that are listening, because I realize every single episode, we're almost like we're shouting this shit out. If we have any financial backers there that want to deposit just a little bit so we can start a cult and take a trip and we can all fucking clean ourselves with this shit that's in the system, holla.
We're trying to start the IBHM podcast fucking cult so we can go ahead and start our own church, and then we can go down to South America and do this ayahuasca. But this is... See, now my thing, because yes.
And I started licking the street door, and my wife keep me at his house.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing though. LSD is more man-made as opposed to ayahuasca, and like shrooms are actually natural. And so that's kind of the theory with a lot of the people who are into psychedelics, is that these plants and these mushrooms evolved on Earth with us over the past millions of years, and that's why we're more in tune with it. And that actually brings up, I don't think I've ever talked about this on here, but there's a real interesting theory. There's this guy named Terrence McKenna, and he has a theory of evolution, because there's that link, that missing link, like how did we become from the monkey to the man? Like there's a missing link in there. And his theory is that as things started to warm up and as the trees and the forces started to feed, there was these mushrooms, and the monkeys started eating the mushrooms and became conscious of themselves. And that it's the stone monkey theory, and that may be where humans came from, was that we ate mushrooms, psychedelics, we became conscious of ourselves, and then we started to build civilizations and grow from there. So I've been all into this. Terrence McKenna. Yeah, he's passed away. Yeah.
That sounds plausible right away. Like, you know, someone, you know the truth in the air. I don't know if this is the truth. You know something that is plausible. Like, that makes more sense than fucking the main program there.
Yes, I believe it. Yes, it's...
And, going into the hallucinogens with this, this soap star named James Scott quit Days of Our Lives after having an ayahuasca trip out in Peru. It says, hilarious and like something for what could be a sequel to Soap Dish, James Scott, who's the popular young British leading man/villain of Days of Our Lives, has quit the soap after 8 years. It says, what happened earlier this spring, Scott went to Peru to hang out with shamans and smoke hallucinogenics.
Why not?
Shouts out to that brother. He revealed this in an interview in which he also called obsessed soap fans fucking idiots. And he went on to say, I just got back from Peru. I spent 6 days in the jungle of Peru doing ayahuasca with the shaman. It was the single most positive experience of my life. Ayahuasca is hallucinogenic. I sat in a tent in a hut in the jungle on the Amazons with three shamans blowing tobacco smoke in my crown, realigning my chakras and my energy while hallucinating for 4 to 6 hours.
God damn.
He says, I mean this.
Correct trip. I'm gone for a weekend.
And it says, this is all hard to explain. It's very spiritual and very interesting. This is a medicine that the people of South America have been using for years to have a relationship with the higher consciousness. It sounds wacky when you say it, but it was truly the most important thing I have ever done. I came back a very different person. And it just goes on to say the start of the ayahuasca trip involves immense physical pain, severe vomiting, other unpleasantness. Then you have a lot of revelations. And apparently Scott was to walk away from a full-time job as a star of the soap, as the soap opera. And so, yeah, he fucking went out, did ayahuasca, became enlightened, if you will, and walked away from like, yo, all this shit out here is bullshit. Like, he got unplugged from the Matrix.
Well, one of the things that kind of freaks me out, and this is what you said, how you had, you know, tried acid. Like, honestly, I've been wanting to just because you don't want to experience shit, but also I'm afraid because they say that's when you see your demons. Now, mind you, I'm pretty mind-fucked, you know what I'm saying? Just sober anyway. When you get to real spicy, nobody's going to find me questionable. This is kind of weird. He speaks for the F a lot, you know what I mean? I'm just getting excited as all. So I'm scared. If it's that, when I try that shit, then I don't want to fucking
eat that dude.
Yeah. But then again, I mean, I might as well go to Peru. Get real the fuck out.
Yeah. I just don't know. Like, I'm already, like you said, I'm already on with my damn self.
Yeah.
And this shit I hate. So imagine.
I would love to see that. It is crazy though because like they've been doing studies on it. Of course, not the American media. They don't want to talk about the shit. There's something waking people up. They don't want us to know that shit. But there's been studies of different things, and they've been taking people who are addicted to crack, people who are addicted to heroin, people who have post-war syndrome, and they're taking them and they're releasing all them demons. Like they're seeing the demons, but they're coming one in. They're coming into one with them and like, oh, okay, this is what's going on, and then they're letting it go. And like we talked about it on the episode with Trav, there's a chick named Amber Lyons. She was a dedication on episode 18,
yeah,
I think.
Yes. And, second to last one.
Yeah, and she heard about ayahuasca and tried it for the first time, and she's been like going all over the country and stepping out for the past fucking year, and she said that she was like all just fucked up and she didn't know what was going on, and she said she went and did this ayahuasca trip and she saw shit that bothered her during her life that she didn't even remember, that she remembered it. Like she thought she forgot about that shit. And it came to her, whatever, and she saw all the anxiety, and then this mothering figure came and, like, sucked all of it out of her. And she was like, she's been at peace ever since.
So, yeah.
Some deep
go
shit.
Go get your butt hole clean, y'all. Come with us.
I'm getting chill, so let's go.
And we've been talking about it. I was talking to Traff, and Traff found some retreat, if you will, up there. I won't talk about it too much. We found a retreat up on the East Coast or whatever, and he's trying. And I've been really thinking about next income tax, man. I might go check it out, man.
Yeah, there's, like how you said, we got this different system.
Got one life.
This one.
You got this one life. You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and so much that we don't know, you know, so much we get caught into the material bullshit, and we also get caught into a lot of those terms and agreements. What did you say?
Yes.
There's a whole lot that you lose in the details, and most are they trying to make a movie out of it? What's going on?
And that's a perfect segue, because I just recently, over the course of the past 2 nights, watched a documentary that scared the living motherfuck out of me, and I came to the conclusion that this war we have already lost. And the movie that I'm talking about is called Terms and Conditions May Apply, and it is a movie I just recently watched on Netflix. If any of y'all got Netflix, look up Terms and Conditions May Apply. And this movie basically breaks down how the world has changed with these terms and agreements and all that. And let me see this little piece. See what all they talk about.
You're talking about when you're doing programs,
applications, anything, and you hit that agree at the bottom. Yes. It says the title.
We own you. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I might just give up the surprise.
Yeah,
read it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That thing I'm supposed to read?
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's the thing. Everyone scrolls so down to the bottom.
I gotta click in that one box before I can get to the next step. That's how we know it is.
I'm just trying to click on
that
shit.
Box to get to the next thing.
Yes. And the title of the movie, Terms and Conditions May Apply, is unlikely to incite, but the content is quite blistering. Documentary should rile even the most passive viewer. It says, investigating our casual surrender of privacy rights every time we click the agree button on this dense and typically unreadable online user contract, the director, Colin Hoback, outlines the real-life dangers of digital heedlessness. It says, as the film illustrates, a random tweet or innocent Google search could summon a SWAT team to your door or transform you into a suspected terrorist. And they were breaking down some of the different things that have happened on social media and how, because the whole thing comes to, anytime you talk about the NSA and they're watching us and all that, the main defense mechanism, always say, a lot of people say, is, well, I'm not doing anything illegal. The one thing I say to that is, what is legal and illegal is just something written on a piece of paper. There's some piece of paper in some building that I've never seen that says here that I can't do or I can do this. Tomorrow, that law could probably change. It could be new laws on there. So what you're doing today that isn't illegal could be legal, or what you're doing... Yeah, I mentioned that. Me and my girl had a conversation about that. I was talking about how when both of our mothers were born, my mom couldn't drink at the same water fountain as her mom. And that shows you just how, like, quick shit changes. Like, first generation African American that had full rights, if you will. But they would just break. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, the most fucked thing about, I mean, yeah, we've came a long way. But one of the most fucked up things is the fact that these things that change, we don't necessarily know them. And we can change them, and we don't necessarily need to notify you. And that's the document is fucking saying as well, that you can change shit without even knowing about it. So just
tell us, motherfucker.
And they're talking about in this film basically how shit has just changed since 9/11. And they were talking about how with the what was it, Patriot Act, how we signed away a bunch of shit. And then they were talking about how the government is just trying to get a hold of all the information, if you will. And the NSA, everybody knows, they have a fucking hard drive that has a yottabyte, which is 1 trillion terabytes. And that's how they're copying all the information, if you will. A yottabyte. 1 trillion terabytes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wrap your brain around that. 1 trillion terabytes. And not 1 trillion gigabytes. 1 trillion terabytes. A terabyte is 1,042 gigabytes, which,
For those that ain't tech nerds, ain't too important, but it's just a whole lot of shit.
It's a lot of shit. And they were breaking down how basically Yottabyte got them, man, I got them Yottabytes on sale, yo.
I'm gonna do a tag with Cheeky called Yottabyte. I got a Yottabyte of them, son. Oh, he's pushing major weight, Serge. Coach, major weight. Major weight.
Major weight.
See, niggas moving.
Oh, shit. And they were just breaking down, like, some of the people who then got caught up in some shit. And, like, they brought up the whole thing where there was one, I think it was a gay dude in the UK that was going to America for the first time. And he had wrote about how he was going to party and go destroy America. And so, of course, he's talking about, like, killing it. Ooh, we're going to have a good time and tear the house
down. I'm going to tear you this motherfucker and, ooh, kill it.
Exactly. And the dude got down to the fucking airport and they took his passport and they arrested him and kept him overnight because they thought he was a terrorist because of... No, he didn't find out until afterwards. And they were like, we're worried about this tweet. Then it broke down this other one where there was this comedian who was on, he went to the Apple store to buy some. He stood in line for like 4 hours, had a real bad experience. He got back home and he said he's smoking weed and all that and watching Fight Club. And I don't remember the scene, but there was a scene on there when Fight Club, the guy is getting ready to quit his job or something. He's talking about coming in and shooting everybody and spraying round after round. And the guy took that word for word, but flipped it, talking about the Apollo 5th. He said before he was done watching the movie, the SWAT team kicked in his door and were looking for the AR-15 that he was talking about on Facebook. And he was like, you're kicking the door down because of something I said on Facebook.
Yeah.
Then there was another one where there was a seventh grader who got pulled into the office and the Secret Service was there. And so the mom got called in and she's like, what did I get called in for? And they were like, your son, and this was after the Osama bin Laden got murdered, it was like, your son had tweeted that since Osama bin Laden is dead, Obama should watch his back. He was talking in general of like, oh man, Obama just took down one of the terrorists and I hope nothing happened to him. But when you have these things that record everything, they red flag certain things and they just saw those certain words, put it together, thought it was a terrorist, he was a fucking seventh grader. And they were just breaking down how, like, we've already lost this war. Like, they're recording everything. And they were breaking down how you have Facebook and Twitter and how you can delete some. That shit doesn't delete. If they have it.
Yeah, all right, I mean, you want to continue this post? You hit no, you don't want to keep the bullshit.
Yo, one thing I'm scared about, big time, kind of how we were talking about Patrice O'Neal last time about that joke, I thought I got it, about he's drinking a camera, they just want to let her because just in case, you know, you'll get fucking busted for because of the dead white woman. One thing that was just fucking me up, this is just, God is really testing me, I'm sure, but just saying, just out of some fucking crazy event, something like that happens, and out of the fucking random, I somehow cross paths and be like, well, according to your profile, you've been known to love this, that, and that. So
exactly.
You will seem like a prime candidate for this because you've been known to do this. So it's like, so even shit that passed by a phase.
What is that? Go ahead. That movie. The movie.
Which one?
Tom Cruise, were they
Minority Report?
No, were they hit you for pre-crime?
Yes, and that's exactly what they were breaking down. There were people who were getting ready to protest the royal wedding, and they talked about it on Facebook, and they got all stopped before they got on the bus because they talked about it, and it was pre-crime. We're arresting you because you're thinking about something. And the other thing that was fucked up, and this they're
already there, man.
We're living in Minority Report. We're already living there. We're already there. 1984, Minority Report, we're there already. And they were breaking down how this one dude, because I guess this information leaked, and it was basically just kind of breaking down how your Google searches, whatever you search, you know, all that shit is saved and all that. And some information leaked out where it was through AOL or something like that. And so it was showing all these Google searches for these different people. And there was this one dude, because that was the other thing, they were saying, you have our social security numbers and that's how you're tagged in America. People don't know you actually have a social security number on the internet. And that's the reason why they say it's anonymity, because your name's not out there. But there's a unique number tagged to you. So it follows you around, and that's basically your online social security number, if you will. And they were saying how anything you've ever done, it all saves in there, so they could go back and see everything you ever looked at, everything, so on and so forth. This one dude, his information leaked, and was like, how to kill your wife, and it was like decapitated head photos and car crashes and all this information. And so the government came and they kicked down his door too to see what was going on. The guy was a writer on Cold Case, the NBC show. When you take the information out of context, it looked like he was trying to figure out how to kill his wife. He was doing some research for a show that he was working on. And they were saying that that's when it gets scary, is because we're watching you and all this shit, and we're filming all this. We could take something you're saying out of context and arrest you for that, when that's not even what the fuck you meant. We lost already.
Fucking man.
Smoke weed, fuck bitches all day. We've already lost.
Open your eyes, y'all. Open your eyes. Another thing I just realized, too, we're in the same proximity. It's needed, though.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Good point.
Really no one of the greatest things about opening up your mind is sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, I think I hear something like this. And then again, we just, hey, We're not just open in now.
We have a conversation.
Oh shit. But yeah, it's just fucking crazy. It's like it's one of those things, and like I'd say that time and time again. Every time I bring up something with the NSA, people are always like, "Well, I'm not doing anything wrong." And it's like, yeah. Yes. And that actually brings up not a spoiler alert.
What's up?
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Nothing's happening in the background.
Fourth wall. Don't acknowledge the fourth wall. But they were basically. At the end, they were talking about the whole Facebook, how Facebook and Google was basically in bed with the NSA. And they were saying how the government initially went out to try to collect all this information. And we kind of fought against it because it's illegal. Like, we don't want you to take all this information from us. And so they were like, what was the best way to trick people? Let's give you social networks. We're on Facebook. You're going to tell us everything you're doing every day. Mm-hmm. Instagram, you're going to show us everywhere you are every day. Twitter, you're going to update everything. And since all of these different things aren't collecting all the information, it's not illegal. I could just get all the information from all these different sites. And they were talking about how, what's his name? Zuckerberg. Yeah. Zuckerberg was like, you know, privacy isn't an issue. I don't know why these people are mad and so on and so forth. So the dudes that did the movie, they fucking found Mark Zuckerberg's address and they parked outside of his house. And they waited till he came out so he could go somewhere, and they ran up on him like, hey man, we want to film you, you know, for this movie and all that. And he was like, oh, is the cameras on right now? He's like, I really prefer you guys not to record me. So they turned one of the cameras off, but they kept the other camera on, and Zuckerberg didn't know. And he lighted up afterward, and he was talking and laughing and joking with them. And they were like, if privacy is such not that big of an issue, why were you mad that we were recording you? It's okay for you to record us, but we can't record you. And that's just...
fucking it. And that's that thing we talked about before too, about kind of like the selfies thing. How smart of a fucking trick, because if you make this selfie a thing and motherfuckers are up, and we're updating our pictures all the time, well, I'm, I ain't never gonna know how you don't look, motherfucker, because you always we got these bitches on lock because they, I mean, who doesn't take a selfie?
And you just brought up a good thing, because actually, shouts out to the missus again. She read this article to me. Snapchat just basically came out. You take the picture and it's gone in X amount of seconds. No, it's still on their server. It leaves from you.
Yeah.
They still have every one of those pictures. So by definition, yeah. Snapchat has the largest fucking pedophile collection in the world.
Don't they?
And they would just break it down, like, when you turn some of these things off, like, I got GPS on my phone, and I turn GPS off, I'm just hiding GPS for me.
Yeah.
It's still recording all of that shit, it's just hiding it for me. You delete something on Facebook, you're just hiding it from yourself, it's still out there.
They are mad on your Facebook phone, I had to update to my next program. I don't know if y'all ever got that, it's Google portal now.
Yes.
Automatically
puts
your photos on the cloud. Yes. And I was like, oh shit, what is this? So I went and clicked on it. I see all my photos on this cloud. I didn't put them there.
Yes.
I'm trying to delete them off the cloud, right? It deleted them off my whole shit. All my role pieces.
Yes.
So they're like,
no,
you think you're going to stay on this cloud. I'm not.
Yes. I did the same thing. Yeah. I downloaded the new Google thing, and then same thing. I was like, wait, what is it? It said it was uploading some, and I went in, it had like the last 1,000 pictures I had took, and I was like, I didn't even, technically I signed up for it, because somewhere down the line I hit a break.
You see, they decide, yo, we're going to have everything that you gonna need for necessity really in the future. You're going to have to go through it either way. So I mean, they're like,
What kind of got me funny laughing was the Snapchat. You know how the big thing, it doesn't say, not necessarily. They now, I remember, because people around me fuck with it, and now you can actually look back at it. So people are like, oh, look, now you can see them now. Like, it's a good thing. Like it's like they made them wait for it. Like, yeah, now we can see them. Motherfucking, now you got a whole catalog of your ass. Like, fucking A.
Yes.
But once again, all what they can do with it is endless. I mean, we can keep talking about it. We can call it conspiracy, and we might not believe it when we, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, down to it.
A few more things with it, just to go a little further with the Minority Report. Also,
which is on right now.
Oh, we got a motherfucking Minority Report in the background. I love this movie, but it is fucking scary in a sense, because this is exactly where we're going.
These are like real horrors, man, but they just disguise them as different entertainment.
Yes.
And they wouldn't put this kind of stuff in the movies if they didn't even do it. You know what I'm saying? Where do you think that thought comes from?
The
think it made a movie. Somebody does.
We had to be pretty late on it.
The thing that I read, because anytime like I find a movie and I really enjoy it, I do some research on it. and I had watched some documentary or something about this, and they were talking about when Steven Spielberg got ready to do this movie, he wanted to see what direction we were going and where we could be at in the next 30 to 50 years. And so he went and talked to FBI people and to see what we're doing now and what we're capable of doing. And so that's the reason why this movie is so realistic, if you will, because this isn't just all made up shit. This is the direction that we're going.
You just gave the audience five examples of them doing this without special effects. Real life.
Yes.
We're here, man.
We're here. Minority Report. The other little thing that they got is they're creating these cameras. They're like a camera / microphone, and they're almost the size of like a grain of salt.
Yo.
And they could spread them all over the place, and they record HD video as and also the voice, and all this shit is going to the database. Like, where they could do... They got us. That's the end of the day. They got us. And yo, we let
you know, too, Google has them. Google Contacts?
Yeah.
With a camera in them?
Yeah, we talked about that on the last episode. Google is coming out with Google Contacts, where you put the contacts in and they have the cameras on there.
So you just take pictures, so they see what you see.
Yeah,
and what scares me is the fact that it's meant to help, you know, for those that are blind, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, you're helping, but
where is that technology going to go to?
And in the wrong hands and all the damn time, and it ain't about just not being on security cameras. It's about being on every motherfucker's radar. And eventually...
It's almost like they'll be like... Hand to God type shit.
Well, it's so easy to get a hold of. Bam, they just get this book. Blah, 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 blah. And how they jump into dudes' rooms when he peeps out.
And the other scary thing that they were breaking down is that this.
You got a riot, y'all. Anarchy.
This gives them the opportunity to kind of do time travel, if you will, in the sense of, let's say you have someone murder somebody. Now, since I have all this information, I could backtrack that murder and see everyone that he's ever communicated and talked with and all that. I could go back in real time and hear his voice through these different cameras and what he was doing and what he was posting and all that. And then you have the case of, you have, what is it, an accomplishment. What if you know somebody and then that motherfucker goes and does some crazy shit and then, oh, it says on Facebook you guys were having this conversation, you joked about this and now you're accomplished.
Yeah. Fucking last week you were tagged at so-and-so amount of time and we saw you.
See, I think that's, I don't like when people tag me and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Just depends. I mean, I may be on, not that I'm doing this, but
yeah.
That's one reason. But, you know, but the main thing would be like, when I don't know where you're at, man.
Yes.
Just on just some basic level stuff, like.
Yeah, I don't need everybody to know where I'm at right now.
This is the eighth round, and we're like almost fighting the uphill battle. But I mean, as long as we're having these conversations, and people are understanding that, you gotta be aware of this, man. If you're conscious of this stuff, and this, and you do something about it, it's good. But if you, once you know, and you just keep continuing to, you know, you gotta make change, man. We trying, man.
You gotta wake up.
Yeah.
And we're stuck in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, how? What can you do besides, I guess, spread the word? And no, it takes doing though. It's kind of like should we just die right now? Should we just make a massive fucking cult-like? Goddamn, let's go! I'll make some fucking Kool-Aid. Y'all come with me. You got the blunt. You got the yak. All right, we got the mass at 1200. You know what I'm saying?
And at the end of the day. The thing that I always bring up is at the end of the day, it's by definition more of us than them, if you will, but they have the resources and they have the power because we've given it to them. But if the people woke up and just kind of fought back, we could make something happen, but...
Yeah, you know, you gotta be super right. Like, the only cause that is worth fighting for is that you may not be around to see it.
Yes.
To the outcome, you know what I'm saying? Anything else is just like, you know, but I mean... When, I'm not gonna be the only one out there dying. Somebody else.
Yeah, come with me.
Where y'all niggas at? Hold up.
I honestly believe though, if we really were to kind of upstand, if we were really revolt and really come together, we would win it. But we just, they have so much of us in control. It's like
it's a fucked up part.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing. So
and just kind of fucked up.
Bye.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And so,
you gotta take over. Who was known? Who's trying to take over last year?
Speaking of, just for this game came out in
yes.
92.
Yes.
It shows the towers dropping and everything.
Oh, yeah. Game. You ain't ever seen that?
Nah.
Yeah, there was a Illuminati game. Oh, yeah. see if they can see. Yeah, there was a game called Illuminati.
Was that on the Super NES?
No, it was a board game, or a card game.
Oh, what? Yeah.
And there was a whole bunch of different, like, scenarios in this game of, like, the world getting fucked up, and they show, like, the towers dropping. There's one, yeah, Pentagon, like, a lot of shit that has happened. It showed in those cards.
Well, I forgot what movie it was. I don't know if it was 2012 or one of the movies where you can calculate. Because they actually done studies. I don't know why I haven't talked about this before, but they've done things where they've researched the original couple books of the Bible and the Hebrew version of it, like the original scrolls. And supposedly the way that the numbers are, they equal some kind of longitude and latitude that it puts a specific location of something.
And
I don't know whether it was disaster or what you would call it, but you can link those locations to those exact things that were written from some verses.
And that's actually a good segue for, it's not even in the notes, but something that we talk religion and God and different things and all that on here. And I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. I'm a person who I personally believe in some type of higher power, but I, over the course of the past few years, have gotten away from religion. And
I'm learning too much.
I woke up
learning.
Nigga, stop learning.
Quit reading.
Just take this Bible. Just,
it is
just
the reason why they didn't let niggas read back in the day. They don't want you to free your mind.
Don't free your mind, brother. But the one thing that I've come to believe is I have my opinion on the Bible is I don't necessarily think that it's a religious book. I think it's more of a historical book, and I think there's a lot of allegory, and there's a lot of different stories within it, and I think that's where the main disconnect is. A lot of people have taken it, people are taking it too literal, and that's why I kind of battle with this God religion thing with having conversations with people, because I think I've gone into this. When you break it down, oh, your toe's still fucked. I see. Ow! Fucking,
they stepped the Torah and it's been fucking him up ever since.
I had broke down on episode, I think that was episode 12 or whatever, and I'll bring it up again for the people who didn't hear episode 12. I had a theory about that the Antichrist has already come. And my theory is that the Antichrist was Constantine, the dude that made the New Testament. Because when you go down to early religion, you come down to the first four or the first century after the death of Christ, you had two forms of Christianity that grew. You had the Orthodox and you had the Gnostics. And the Gnostics had a completely different opinion about religion and Christ and all that. And their whole thing was that you can't find God in the church. You can't find God with some bishop or some pope. You find God within yourself. He's within you. And then Constantine was like constantly killing like these motherfuckers left and right, just killing everybody. And then finally, the more and more people he killed, the more and more Christians kept popping up. So instead of fighting them, if you can't beat them, you join them. So he joined them, and then he took, because back then there wasn't necessarily a Bible, there was just a whole bunch of gospels that was all over the place. And so he gathered all the gospels together and got with his political team and was like, we need to pick which of these books we're going to put in a final book, and this is going to be our book. And then so they made the New Testament, and then all the Gnostics, they continued to kill for the next 1,200 years. That's where all those Christian crusades, it wasn't that Christians were just killing regular people. They were killing Muslims, and they were killing other Christians who didn't agree with the Orthodox or the Catholic religion of them. And so I go to argue that Constantine might have been the Antichrist because he took the word of God, if you will. He turned it on its head, and what is the greatest trick the devil ever pulled to make people think he didn't exist? So you take the whole thing, you guys are following this, you're listening to this, but this is actually not God's word, so I got you all. And then the people who are going against it, and they're like, oh, that's all bullshit, so I don't believe in God, I got you too.
Yeah, double whammy.
So it's a double whammy, I got you on both sides. And that's the reason why I think Constantine was an antichrist, and I think I think we might be onto something with that.
Yeah?
I don't know. So I've been all on my gospel.
And you know what that tells you? And that means that it really is in the end of days, in the last few days, because he already done come back and we've been fighting the devil this whole fucking time. So it's like, fuck, and you're kind of scared. You almost want to act right, and then ultimately you want to just fucking turn the fuck out.
See, I don't know. What is that? Yeah, and see, they can put us in this state of disarray. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't We're not the only ones like that. Everybody yes. feels like that.
Yo, and we got
put us in that malaise, man. And we just sold. That's even better than us doing anything. You know
yes,
saying?
And that's the whole
to
thing.
Them, to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's didn't sound totally off the wall, but and I forgot what song it is. I think it's 2 Chainz says it, which it makes it surprise you how profound it fucking is. And I think it might have been on a Drake song, but it goes, "It's that funk, God bless you." Like it's you being mixed. It's you sneezing though. And yeah. What do you say when someone sneezes?
Bless you.
So it's kind of like it's one of those situations. It's that funk.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that shit is wild.
Yeah,
and speaking of, I guess conspiracies and devils and antichrist or whatever you subscribe to.
One of the coolest guys in the game was.
Yo, I got some shit on fucking Twitter because of my fascination with Hitler. I'm fascinated with Hitler. And I'm not saying that I believe in him, and it goes back to the quote by Will Smith earlier. Even Hitler didn't wake up going, "Let me do the most evil thing I can do today." I think he woke up in the morning and using a twisted backwards logic, he set out to do what he thought was good. And I'm fascinated by Hitler because Hitler was all into esoteric material. He was all into studying religion. There was rumors that he found Mary Magdalene's grave, and at her gravesite there's what that swastika, and that's where he introduced the swastika and all that. Yes, it was a holy symbol that got flipped on itself. And
I feel he had connection with the aliens because he was a scientist and he had all the best scientists with them. So I'm pretty sure when Jesus came back and forth, and he might have done some good, believe it or not.
Theories with that. And the thing that I always argue, like the nigga was doing all this research and all this shit, and then he woke up one day and was like, "We got to eradicate all the Jews." And I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do. I just want to know, what did he find out? Like, what did he read or come across that he was like, "Yo, we gotta get these motherfuckers off this planet"? So that's the thing, like, he's, and once again, I'm not trying to apologize for him. He did, what he did was horrible and all that, but the thing that I'm just interested in is what drove him, because of course he wasn't thinking like, "Oh, I wanna do something evil." He thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah, and you gotta put yourself in that time frame back then too. We're not in Europe. We don't know how it was. Of course, hate of any kind is bad.
Yes.
But the amount of dedication and vigor and power and stuff that you put into things, man, it's just like, yo, if you would have used it for
yeah,
phenomenal, you know?
Exactly.
But just the mere fact that you are able to do that, and like I'm saying, like maybe he just felt like. In where the Jews were at and yeah. in this community, he's like, "No, this is just. I want to proceed. I want to succeed, and they are in my progress."
Yeah. See, in my conspiracy theory, because I just like to speculate. Anytime I bring up a conspiracy, it doesn't necessarily mean that I believe it wholeheartedly. I just like to speculate because you never know.
I'll be speculating.
The thing that I always thought was interesting, and shouts out to Spirit Science. They had a documentary called Hidden History, and they were basically just breaking down ancient civilizations and the different things that they talked about. And they were like, what if we looked at what they said as literal? And the one thing that they broke down is if you take things literal, the Jews themselves say that they're not from Earth. They say that they're not part of us. And that's the reason why Jews aren't supposed to mix blood. That's why you're supposed to marry Jewish. You keep your bloodline pure. And they talk about how they were God's people and all that. And that's where the ancient aliens theory comes from. What's up?
Oh, and I was just mumbling to myself. I'm like, "Shit, I'm trying to get me a Jew, fucking pay a little bit."
Trying to get
me
that
spaceship songs. I've been.
So the thing that I'm interested by is like, what did he come across to make him think that he needed to do shit like that? But the conspiracy theory is that historians lied and that Hitler did not die in Germany. The story says that newly declassified, and this is from Declose TV. So to all you people out there, to each their own, if you rock with Disclosed TV, if you agree with them or disagree with them, it's completely up to you. But as the story goes, is that newly declassified FBI documents prove that the government knew Hitler was alive and well and living in Andes Mountains long after World War II. It says on April 30th, 1945, Adolf Hitler committed suicide in his underground bunker. His body was later discovered and identified by the Soviets before being rushed back to Russia. It says it's real possible that the Soviets have been lying all this time and that history has purposely been rewritten. It says no one thought so until the release of the FBI documents. It basically just breaks down that it's possible that the most hated man in history escaped the war-torn Germany and lived in a peaceful life in some foothills out in the Andes Mountains, and that the intelligence community knew this the whole time.
Well, sure, they're going to figure, all right, well, you did your duty. Now, don't come around these parts no more. Like, what did you think of me? So that's why, I mean, do you think Osama's dead? I don't think so.
And
well, even if he was, I mean, come on, now, with the ties he had, do you really think it'd be that simple to just kill him? And, we're going to box in our wings on the room, you know, just believe us that we did it. I mean, it's a man of power.
I think Hitler and Osama, I think there's a reason why there's conspiracy theories about them being alive is for the simple fact that there's not enough evidence of their dead bodies. That was the reason why a lot of people didn't believe that Osama fucking died. Yeah, they tossed the nigga like a transformer in the motherfucking ocean, and then there was no pictures and nothing like that. It's the same thing with Hitler. It was just like, oh, he's dead, just believe us. And so that opens the door for a conspiracy. It just, there's no getting around it. And a couple of like conspiracy theories with Hitler, the one that I thought that was real interesting, there's one conspiracy theory that Hitler, that Hitler and his people may have discovered time travel, if you will. And the whole ancient aliens theory goes is that there was some type of crash, some type of something that happened just before Hitler rose to power, and that they were reverse engineering a whole bunch of shit. And then Hitler got charismatic and all that. He got powerful, went after the Jews and all that. And then when he started to lose the war, they never found Hitler. And there was some type of thing that they were working on, because the whole thing is the reason why Hitler lost the war is because we won because of the atomic bomb. And the atomic bomb came from the theory of Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein was a Jew. And that's the reason why Hitler didn't come up with the atomic bomb, because he refused to use the technology of a Jew. So he was trying to find a different way to do something. And I forgot the name of it. Shouts out to James Rowland. He has a book called The Black Order, and he kind of broke down on a lot of this. And he was saying they were working on something else, and if you accomplish this other scientific achievement, you could figure out how to bend time on itself. And they were wondering if maybe that's what happened to Hitler. What if he disappeared in a time vortex or whatever? Because that's the whole thing. We don't know what wormholes do, and Albert Einstein says that time could be folded on itself. So by scientific definition, it's possible. And what if that's what Hitler did? Maybe he didn't die, and maybe he vanished off into the space or something. I don't know.
Y'all can't find me.
So I don't know, and that's just a conspiracy theory that is here or there. I mean, I don't really super subscribe to time travel and all that. Still can't wrap my brain around that. Maybe if you say that you went to another multiverse or another universe or another dimension, I'm pretty sure eventually science is going to figure out how to do that. But I have an issue with the time travel thing. Just kind of doesn't fully make sense. But one thing that is very interesting to me that I often do wonder about, and a lot of more information is still coming out about, I mean, we still don't understand it.
It's been forever ago this shit came to existence. We keep finding things.
We keep finding new things, and a lot of these new things we keep finding in Egypt, and there's a newly discovered 3,100-year-old Egyptian tomb that includes intricate hieroglyphs describing the afterlife. And basically, it breaks down. Archaeologists have found a tomb dating back to around 1100 BC, which is it's south of Cairo, Egypt. But it basically says that they broke down and made some discovery in the tomb. It was found near another one dating back to the same period, belonging to the head of the army that was discovered in the previous excavation season. The tomb was much larger, but much of what remains is, if it would get to the fucking thing, like, what did they talk about?
It's summarized, bro.
So, anyway, they found a whole bunch of intricate details of them talking about the afterlife and all that. And I thought this was interesting. What's up?
Read my mind. Keep going, man.
Don't worry about the background.
Don't worry about it. But what is fucking interesting is that to this day, we still can't figure out the Egyptians. We still can't mimic the Egyptians. Something, and this goes back
that's
to...
That's all day. I'm kidding.
I brought it up before. brought up before, there was this thing, what the fuck is the name of it? There was a comet disaster that they recently came across over the past 3, 4, 5 years or whatever, and they basically came to the point that there was some type of huge asteroid strike that hit Earth about 12,000 years ago and wiped off like 90% of the mammals on the planet. And so a lot of people have been speculating, this has opened the door to wonder if maybe human civilization have evolved a lot farther than what we thought they did a while ago. We de-evolved and we started back over, and that's the reason why we can't figure out what the Egyptians were doing or how they were doing it, because they were the last remnant of that old ancient civilization before we restarted. Yeah, before the comet. And the whole thing is that they've been finding these glass melts, and basically you have another extension theory of going back to like 65 million years ago.
You know, the potatoes, the little rock thing.
Yes. They, the one thing that they really broke down, which was interesting, where they were showing how a lot of those hieroglyphs in those caves and how they go down in there, there is, with the information that we have, it was impossible that they were carving all that stuff in the dark. And the whole thing is, the thing that they had back then was copper and other things, and they tried to use like copper to reflect light, and it's only so far you can go in there. And they're also talking about you can't use a torch to go in there, because the deeper you get in there, the less oxygen it is, and eventually the thing, so they had some type of light bulb with some type of electricity in there. And so there's a thousand different theories about the Egyptians.
Oh, they showed them having it.
We went a different path than the previous cultures.
We just have more access to materials now, but they were probably still doing dope shit. Who knows
how many times we started, though? I'm kind of curious, because there's more studies that they do where they realize the world's a whole lot older than it is. Like, I thought we just
finished this. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of mind-boggles me. You wonder, like, how many times have we started in this case? How many times we had the door situation? I like to get, because I know there's a lot of truth in those stories. And I love my fucking favorite one, the Tars of Babel. And how many don't times have we done come up, or guys like, nah, your mom's fucking up?
Well, yeah.
Yes, here we go.
And the thing that I've brought up, and that's the reason why I take the Bible in a different literal sense, if you will.
Figure out with this kind of conversation.
the fucking theory that I have is, you have the story of Noah's Ark, and how it talks about how there was this massive flood because God got mad or whatever, and there was this massive flood, and they wiped out all these different people and all that. And the thing that I wonder is, because there's a lot of stories, like every single continent has a story about some massive flood that happened. What if the flood that they're talking about is when all those comets rained and hit the ocean? There's the Earth is 2/3 water, so it's going to hit more of the water than it's going to hit land, and then you have tsunamis. And maybe what they were describing was the asteroid attack, and maybe that's what it was, and that's the whole story of Noah, is that it wiped out the good majority of people, and we have restarted. And we are shots out of the ground.
They were the first people who came after the restart.
Or they were the only ones that survived. There's just something. There's something about them that it disconnects them from where we're at now. They're that missing piece. And the thing that I'll argue, too, is that we have Egyptology. There's a study in Egypt, in Egyptology. There's no other civilization that has a Americaology or a Russiaology.
Well, it's such a diverse language. Like, honestly, English is one of the most bastardized languages ever. And that's in Arabic, I guess it's just one of the originals. Like, you can't get any pure and deeper. And I mean, just kind of like, if you ever see, like, remember the old Kung Fu movies? Well, look at that.
Yes.
But they're saying so much, it's like, the way you are treating me does not make me feel good. I don't know, like, it's not messing with me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And shouts out to 1984. George Orwell talked about that in 1984, and he was talking about controlling the public and how you control the public is by you bastardize the language and you put less and less words so people can't communicate their ideas and all that. You can basically dumb down and control the people by...
When they go to space and they get
all the
Terry Crews as president.
Oh, shit. They're talking shit on that with Idiocracy.
Water?
Yes.
That's
Idiocracy. And that's the reason why I go as far to argue that that's the reason why the education system is falling apart and all that. It's all
getting mad. It's getting dumb for a reason.
If you're running a civilization,
it's not smart to teach your servants how to become
don't want free thinkers, you want workers.
And that's exactly why they try to demonize the knowledge and call this Illuminati culture. All you're doing is studying ancient teachings and telling you how all this shit came together.
Yes.
And then they'll disguise it, put a twist on it, and see the... Hold on, this is even worse, because they put a twist on it. They twist the twist. Like, they're like, okay... you know what I'm saying? This knowledge is this is the devil.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell you the devil that's a lie. And then they'll tell you some shit.
And so many twists and turns, you can't unravel the truth.
The truth out there, and we told you so many lies that you don't even believe the truth no more. So we're just like, we're just gonna put you in a mind, and we're gonna be over here fucking popping champagne or whatnot, you know, doing whatever.
Shouts out to Rothschild. Shouts out to the big homie fucking Jay Electronica.
Black Jesus.
Black Jesus, he wifey, he getting in that, he get that Illuminati money. I'm not mad at him.
No, shit. So, look at Buffalo. I'll do it.
Yeah, shit, if you gonna aim for the top, shit. And the last little thing with the whole global ancient civilization thing, I came across this other thing. Some dude named Richard Cassaro had kind of broke this down. I thought this was real interesting because this is one of those anomalies within history. This guy says, I've always been drawn to Gothic cathedrals and I've also been fascinated by ancient history. I find one ancient mystery most compelling, the strange unexplained similarities shared by ancient civilizations. It says the Egyptians, Chinese, and Mayans developed separately on different continents. Even so, all constructed pyramids, built corbel vault architect, practiced mummification, worshiped the sun, developed hieroglyphs, and like it shows pictures of all these different monuments and these stepstone pyramids all across
from one people.
And that's what it comes down to. It's there. We all came from one something, and that information spread across the. Because there's.
The world operate the same way the U.S. did on a global, national scale.
So exactly.
People started in the East Coast. You know, you make people wrong that you start from the West. Same thing in the world when the first started.
And we go at war for that shit. And yeah. One of the recent things, what was it? What are the girls that we lost in Syria?
Yeah,
they make a big old deal. But the way that we took shit, like so we bastardized things so fucking much that pretty much we made the proper hoe. And when we pass this sort of thing along, it fucks up with rotation of the places. And you know what I'm saying? So like. I don't know.
Oh, wait, I wonder.
Oh,
on
that
hashtag.
There's this guy on YouTube, man. He's amazing. His name's Supreme Understanding. He writes a book called How to Hustle and Win. Real knowledgeable brother, man.
Yes.
Super, super smart brother. And he's around in our age demographic. No,
okay.
So he's hit with it, you know what I'm saying? But he has this one video, and he's talking about the secret societies and how people want to say Gucci Mane and the Illuminati, all these videos. So he titled this video Gucci Mane and the Illuminati just to suck people in. Right? And he dropped a gems on him, man. One of the points that stood out to me was when the white settlers or whatnot came over in Europe and whatnot and saw the pygmies, they used to live underground, 4 to 5 feet underground, and they were black people.
Yes.
But they're only about 4 feet, 5 feet tall, max, if that, you know? So these people, they're seeing that they're foreign to this, they don't know who they are. And it's the devil.
Yes.
Black devil. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to call that the devil. And then they twist that. And then if you want to be, there's only so much you can tell somebody. If you want to believe that there's a group of white people who are in power that may be worshiping you, and you don't believe that, then there's nothing you can tell somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's what they hide by him. They're praising the black man, the black God.
Right? Yeah.
And that's just, it's not even a racist effort, because all that is just distractions from the truth. It's just fact, man. This is where we come from. So when they try, if you can't even accept that there's people that don't look like you that may worship you, and you're already defeated, you're screwed.
So. Yeah. Exactly.
You know what? That's just how it is, man. We all here, man.
That's real talk.
You can't go from light to dark. You go from dark to light. That's knowledge. It's common logical shit, man.
And we broke it down. Box,
don't be telling me no truths that make me think and shit. Tell me what to wear. Tell me what to drink.
And fuck it. We talked about it on, I think that was one of our first episodes, the whole blue eye mutation, and how they did that study where all blue eye blonde haired people came from, it was a form of
shout out to Brother Oddly.
That happened 9,000 years ago. And the other thing that I kind of build on from that I always bring up is you have like Down syndrome and different things that hit the Caucasian community a whole lot more than the black community. And I go as far to argue it's because they're closer. It's basically the whole in a bad way.
Don't you ever disrespect my white woman.
And that's the whole thing. The word mutant is always looked at in the wrong light. It just means it's something mutated and changed. And it's just like if you were to have two cousins were to have a baby together, it's going to have a birth defect. And that's the reason why you have a lot more birth defects within Caucasians, because their bloodline doesn't go back as far as African Americans, if you will. And so, I don't know, I'm just kind of putting that out there. But just lastly, the guy goes on to say that as a teen, he read books by Victorian era academics fascinated by this riddle. He said that these scholars all subscribe to the so-called Golden Age hypothesis to explain the similarities, otherwise known as the Atlantis theory. This is according to this idea that a Roman civilization must have flourished in remote antiquity. Its peoples built pyramids, practiced mummification, and constructed corbel bar or ball architect. The Golden Age civilization vanished and suddenly cataclysmically perhaps overwhelmed by a great flood. Which also, once again, matches up with when the, I can't remember the name of it, but when that comet strike happened 12,000 years ago. So, once again, we might be rebuilt. We might be starting off with it. So,
can we get to the end?
Right foot, how about that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that. I was like, can this end already?
So,
that's not the way. Just throwing it out there. Gotta make a disclaimer.
Disclaimer. Don't do it, kids. Don't do it. So, I guess on that note, it's about that time, Papo. Is that right? Is it about that time?
It's about that
time. Time for.
We gotta sing it together, y'all.
Oh, we gotta sing it together. Yeah, okay. It's time for.
Dedications. Ooh, I like me that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And
so it was honorary that the guest gets to kind of show it first. So, brother, if you were ready, I know we kind of brought out you, very right before we're about to start the show, but you said you had it picked out already. So, who do you have for your dedication for this show?
Dedicate, because she was just on my mind today. Earlier when you mentioned that, hey, this is for Lord London.
Oh,
really?
Things right now. I'm on podcast. I'm trying.
He's getting there. You know what I'm saying? He's doing is what it is. Because trying is.
One thing.
Did this show to the Wayne baby? That's one of his beards, right? Because you know Little Wayne Gay, so that's one of his beards. Because he has her. Is he the? No, she wasn't the one that was with. Okay, yeah. Because Ruby was with Dream. So yeah, that's one of his beards. His many beards. You know what I'm saying? Because he be fucking Drake on the low low. Girls get real mad when I'm telling them. Let me tell you, but those shit's done.
Drake
on the
low.
Drake won't treat me like this.
That's the one thing about Lauren London that broke my heart is that she had a baby by that motherfucking gremlin. That's the only thing that
fucking gremlin.
But she maybe like she got that little hood edge to her.
Yeah, she does. Yes.
I think she got that from ATL.
Yeah.
She may be in the parking lot.
She might have a little hood of a tism in it, might be. But no, I definitely love Lauren London. Oh, she.
Lord,
If this was Wayne's World and this was the 90s, I'd give you a swing, I guess. And you know, like, she's a bitch, but she gets a swing.
I'm gonna call you
Lulu
Bet, though,
sir. Oh, get in. Give it to me. But,
I guess it's, I got two dedications. I'll say one and I'll pass it to Popo and I'll do the last one.
All right.
So, my first dedication goes to a woman who currently I feel bad for. It's broken my heart.
This is a pity dedication.
I dedicate this episode to my snow bunny goddess, Jillian Jacobs. From Community.
Oh!
It was just recently announced that Community has been canceled. Mm. They will not be coming forth with a fifth or sixth season, whatever season they were about to go into.
And they're going
to
make a movie out of it, though, ain't it?
They're not making the movie. As of right now, they're not making the movie neither. And so, yeah, Community is my shit. I got hip to it on Hulu. I watched all of it. And it's falling apart since Childish Gambino left and since Chevy Chase left.
They say he was an asshole to work with anyway. So, but you know what?
He a little bipolar.
You old man. Come on, man.
He's
an emo. I tried to check out his music, but
listen, I do fuck with Childish. You gotta be on some emo shit, though. You do have to be on some emo shit.
You ain't feeling. You talking about Gambino? I'm on the hated train against Gambino, but
to be. Got his name from the Wu Generator game.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, sure, if that was the case, my name was fucking Dick Pounder. I kid you not. A lot of those fucking.
And that's the thing that's so interesting to me with Childish. I got on the Childish bandwagon like after he dropped the Camp CD. I started fucking with him, and the reason why I didn't fuck with him because when I saw his name, I thought he was like some. A spinoff of Wu-Tang, and I was like, oh, this is another one in the Wu-Tang, because it's like 38 of them in that group. I'm like, I'm kind of cool on a new one, and then it actually shouts out to the Blackout ETFs. They shot it out Childish constantly, and I finally checked it out, and the emo in me fucks with Childish. I fucked with him
when he was on camp. I'll say that. Back on camp.
You know what? I'm being supervised. I didn't even listen to enough to even give it up.
Yeah.
No. You did the right thing, brother. but bring it back to dedications, though. Since you got two, and you mentioned the Community, which is one of my top all-time favorite shows. I even had the motherfucker on DVD, the seasons. I remember I got up to season two. I met a bitch. She stole it from me. Never gave me back. There's a lot of memories. The baddest with Ether that was on the Community. If you want to look up, her name is Allison Gray. You might have seen her on... Mad Men and a couple other things. Google, please. Allison Brie, or I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but it's B-R-I-E. Allison Brie. And oh, God, you talk about a fucking milk of magnesia. It's this one. She just tail is off. She was a Mad Men. A whole lot better because she kind of looked tan on her IMDb. I don't like that shit. But she's a quite the beauty. As far as her range goes, as far as, you know, shouting someone out, she can do an English accent, but really what bitch can't hasn't practiced an English accent, so.
No, I do give it to her because she mad motherfucking nerdy. And she got. Yeah.
And I feel like she's almost ugly enough. Maybe I can holler at her. Maybe it would work. Maybe she'd let me hit this.
She might give it up to a local nigga.
Got some laundry.
Let me holler at you real quick, babe.
Fucking, you know what I'm saying? Just start freestyle poetry spitting at her. She might fuck with her. Who knows? You never know. That's the thing. So I take it as one of my dedications. If you want to bring the next one, then...
Then my last dedication, and it'll come off a little sappy, but tomorrow's Mother's Day, so my last dedication goes to my fiancé. No, actually, you know what?
I would have shouted out my nana if I knew she was going to go down like this.
No, we're 22 fucking episodes into the fucking IBHN podcast, and me and Skips are getting ready to go ahead and get married July 4th. So with Mother's Day here, I also dedicated to the Mrs. Skip. So shouts out to you. She can be ahead at any times, but I love her nonetheless. So.
Well, bless you, man. It's so hard to not only to find it, but to really be able to do it. Obviously, you have two beautiful kids.
I appreciate that.
After that shit, being able to create life in such beauty, and you know what I'm saying, you can shape and form. And
exactly.
I guess my dedication, because I don't have a special love interest, unfortunately, so I can only hope and dream. And this bitch is just ugly enough. Like I said, once again, she just might let me hit it, and I'll make her real happy. And she'll love. She's just one of those steep buses. You just don't know. Her name is, and I've been on a Netflix kick lately, so I've been stuck on that shit. But I first seen this bitch on White Chicks. She was the girl who, when they went to the dressing room scene, Her name's Jennifer Carpenter. If you want to look up her name, Jennifer Carpenter.
Dexter's sister.
Yeah, Dexter's sister. She was sitting on white. She was looking at the fat on her arm and talking about her big old condom. She was a bit thicker then. You know what I mean? So she's beautiful. And she plays cool enough to where I feel like I can bullshit, say my thing, and hopefully she won't be fucking too far offended. She'll tell me to suck my own dick or something like that.
The one thing I will say, the bitch looked like she could take a punch. So yo, I respect that. Yeah. She looked like she could take a punch.
I feel, and then in my little dreams, I started dreaming right away. I fall in love real easily, man. I fall in love often, actually. Every time I see a woman, I fall in love. And in one of the scenarios, she actually defends me. We're at a bar. I'm getting a little shit-faced. I'm talking shit like I normally be talking shit. And some little friend comes up to us trying to go wop on it. And he has a crew of bitches. And it turns out to be like a me against the fight of a Yakuza. It's just a real fuck situation. And you know what I'm saying? I get dumb on the way home. Like, it's just beautiful things. And Jennifer Carpenter, I dedicate this to you.
But, yes, sir. Yeah.
So living the dream, man.
I guess on that note, fantastic motherfucking show. We want to shout out to motherfucking Kamani Kim for coming on the motherfucking website. Go ahead and plug your shit.
Thanks for showing.
WildWilder.com. You can find my Instagram, Last Girl Artist Alive. Hey. Last Girl Artist Alive.
Yes. The brother raps. He makes beats. He paints. He designs clothes. Yes. Most definitely.
Thank you.
I had a great time, man. This is one of many, and we should talk about a lot of topics, man.
Most definitely. Talk some real shit.
You doing the news thing, and it's so easy to hate on shit, and it's really a matter of not being lazy and actually fucking doing this. Honestly, man, you're doing something. I'm out there like a little bit. We got this one. I got to do the verse. I got to do the verse. Shoot me a beat.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we can take a beat tour right now.
We got all the accoutre sense, you know what I'm saying? Accoutre mo. So let's do it. And
so, shoot. Once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, articles you want to hear us talk about, go ahead and email us there. You can find us on the web at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add ibhmpodcast in an appropriate spot. Subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google, plus motherfucking YouTube, all that. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. If you don't feel like doing all of that, just head over to the website, ibhmpodcast.com, and find all of the links there. Mm-hmm. So,
please,
once again,
I want to talk shit. I want to fight. I want to internet bang. Bring it.
Bang on them. So, once again, I'm Black. He's Mexican. And if you don't like this podcast, you must be racist.
Yeah, racist so motherfucker. Whoa. Yo, peace. Take it easy. Yeah.
Came a long way from them days of puff paint tees. By any means did my thing, pursued my dream. Creative at heart, never understood what it meant to play my part or stay in my lane. My brain don't comprehend such things as pure fallacy. Cause anything I wanna see is coming after me. Attracted by nature, opposite a hater, the people savior, comedic teacher, preaching through your speaker. Started at the bottom cause we built this shit. They fucked us, no condom, still standing, no problem. Uncle Armin told me kill this shit. Real life, word sharp as a knife. They brainwash you with Christ, nice. Fuck happened, how we off our square. Why you ain't love your skin, why you ain't like your hair. You God, not one, I'm talking is that. So fight for what's right, demand your motherfucking rib back. The Bible full of bullshit too. Ask Karu, over 6 civilizations, use a 25th too. You biter, matrix rewriter. Walking in that tightrope and fall into a pit of your own fire. Where your little red devil be. Twisted pygmy history to fit your agenda. Definition of mind bender, seeing through your pretenders. I stopped being focused on the TV. Picked up a book, took a chance to make a CD. No room for the hook. I got a lot on my mind I need to spill. I do it all. all the time. No need to say, let's keep it real. Still sharpens itself, so that's the deal. No percent off, no clearance, fuck interference. All these distractions is America's reaction to cover they overtaxing. Testing the waters, turn our sons into daughters of facts in. Feminization spread past the black nation. They fuck up the whole game, cause it ran out of patience. Docs in, syringe ain't filled with penicillin. You overdose on permission before you get in. Yes, master, what's the definition of a sellout if your people didn't seem to buy in faster? Get the hell out. Sorry, I don't believe you, pastor. Whole religion thing remind me of a telephone game with actors and role players. They tell me you can't make it on your own, player. You need a messiah, put your feet to the fire, fucking liars. I'd rather speak on Kimmich while y'all obsessed with gimmicks. Illuminati fucked up our image. My nigga, you gon' get this work. Get knowledge first instead of try to hide in church. How that same book that slave us seemed to be the one that save us. It never added up and made sense. They try to play us back against the wall. Fear to fight, we take flight. Nike Airs got the same logo as them squares. They got us all in check, yeah.